Our name is the RRR Podcast. 5 years ago, we made it our mission to bring you the latest toku news in the craziest way possible. But after a plague of boring tokusatsu struck, it was up to us to save our podcast. To do this, we had to do something else. We had to discuss something else.
Hello, welcome to our Season 6, Episode 44.
Oh no, he didn't. I'm so sorry. Oh god. The apocalypse is nigh.
Pop up the devil.
I'm sorry. Mark Pellegrino just popped right out of George. Full on Jacob.
Oh my god, I'm gonna cry.
Sorry.
That was perfect. That was the best title ever.
It's not, like, I couldn't think of anything. I was telling Brian before you got here that there was, like, no monumental events in any episode this week.
I'm going to have to capitalize Dad just to make sure that people get the point that it wasn't a typo.
Yeah. You should put a question mark between the dad and the... And just,
you know, dad. I'm still laughing.
Goldberg.
I'm going to die.
Goldberg.
Chabok! Why did he say Chabok?
Oh my god.
Why can't Jesse and James have kept those Pokemon? Like, why can they only ever have 3 Pokemon? I don't understand.
Fuck yeah, Kingler level 33. Kingler represent.
Kookie kookie.
I'm gonna laugh again and I'm gonna cough.
Sorry. I loved his voice in the anime. Like, it was just a deeper one. Like, Krabby was and then it was just classic Kingler.
Kingler is just Cookie Monster, confirmed.
Oh, man. You sound like Cookie Monster's parents. Okay, so, one-ups. Pokemon. Pokemon Part 1, Brian.
I'm still playing Red. Vulpix just confused me. Thanks, Vulpix. Piece
classic
of shit.
Classic Vulpix and Brock mess around. Now I'm just picturing the bingo card where this is classic blank and blank mess around. I'm like, damn it. I just gave someone a point.
Oh, we should play bingo live on the show. Oh
my god, that would be a really good idea. Why didn't we... All right, next time.
I'm going to do it right now, and I'm going to scream bingo if I...
It's happening.
Oh, that's great.
You have to find yourself a piece of candy. We don't have anything for your prize.
So my everything arrived within like the last 2 days. I thought I was going to get my HLJ box and my Amiami box on the same day, but nope. Customs decided to hold my HLJ box hostage one extra day.
Classic Customs.
But that... Those all jingle jingle, ting ting cans.
Sorry.
Twinkle twinkle.
What was I saying? Oh, everything's here, basically. There was some figure arts. The most important takeaway is that I got the rest of my cubes. So I got Cube Elephant and Tiger and Kirin, and they're all great, and I'm sadly missing a giant gorilla that I need, but it's still like a month away and it's gonna suck waiting, because waiting is the worst. Everything should just be here now. But anyway, so those are fun.
That 800 pound gorilla,
I'm having a good time with them. What else? I'm up to having all of the Eevee plushes except Sylveon, Espeon, and Leafeon. Leafeon I know I can get at the Walmart near my house, but Espeon and Sylveon are a big question mark right now. But anyway, I was at Target today. Because we went and saw Zootopia earlier today, and that was a fantastic fuck movie. So everyone go watch it that is capable of watching it, if not watching on DVD when it comes out, because it's great.
Sorry, blind people. SOL again.
So that was really fun. And we went to Target after, and like I'm just walking toward the toy aisle, like just doing what I do. And I looked at the toy section of like the card games they have, and the Pokemon plushes are always there. I look down and there's a fucking Noibat just sitting there. And I'm like,
I need it.
Oh my god, Mom, they make Noibat.
I didn't know they did that either. I need it because Noibat is part of my X team.
I picked it up and I hugged it and I said, we're buying this, and it was purchased. And so it's sitting here on the pillow next to me, and it's great, and I'm so happy. Like I had no idea it existed. It was there staring at me, and I was filled with joy. So that's a thing that happened, and I'm really happy about that. I've got a couple Transformers along the week too. Bruticus is finally done. He's pretty neat. Anything else worthwhile in this box? I don't think so. No, nothing worth talking about. I got Noibat. That's the only thing worth talking about.
It's really the only thing worth talking about in the whole podcast.
I did get Twilight Princess HD. I've been playing that a little bit. Not a whole lot, because I'm in the middle of playing a 20-year-old Pokemon game instead. So,
Hashtag priorities.
There's that. I think that's about it that I want to talk about. Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, well, I haven't been up to that much interesting things. I'm still in my Pokemon replay as well, Leaf Green. I just got Fuchsia Gym and Zapdos, and I had to take a break to catch 50 Pokemon so I get EXP share. But, like, I'm on my way to, like, wrapping up a few things and heading to Cinnabar, but I've still been, like, enjoying that. Like, I've been enjoying mentally planning my other playthroughs and, like, randomly watching clips from the old anime because Pokemon Kick is real.
And I also did decide to play Crystal next, so...
It's like, you know which battery or which game to purchase a battery for.
Yeah. I've only got one battery.
Someone's got to get it carefully. So I also got Twilight Princess. I'm going to wait. Like, I was pretty excited for it because it's my favorite Zelda game, but I'm going to wait because, like, after I finish this Pokemon replay, I was planning on doing some Zelda replays in the summer because I never finished Ocarina 3D, so I was going to do that and play through Wind Waker HD, which I never finished either, and then do Twilight Princess. So I'm hoping like I'm in a Zelda mood by then, but I'm going to save that. I honestly didn't know that you can only do the Pro Controller or the gamepad. I feel like I'm the only person in the world that actually likes the motion controls.
I didn't
like Skyward Sword's one.
I didn't mind them in Twilight Princess. Skyward Sword was a mess.
Well, yeah, that's exactly. I was just going to say that, like, I liked the idea of the one-to-one motion in Skyward Sword, but the accuracy frustrated me so much, especially in the final boss battle. But, like, Twilight Princesses weren't, and it was just enough that it was neat, and, like, it didn't exhaust me or anything, and I don't know, I thought it was cool. I liked it. It was, like, part of the reason why I liked my Wii so much when it came out, so I was a little disappointed I'm not going to be able to play it that way, but, like, it would be neat if they could have perfected the one-to-one where it's not so glitchy for, like, the next one, but I guess I'd rather do it normal instead of, like, having a terrible, like, angry experience like I did with Skyward Sword.
Like I said, I'm looking forward to Skyward Sword HD on the NX, just so I can actually play that game and enjoy it.
Like, I'm gonna try, if they do that, which they probably will, I'll probably replay it, but, like, place it in a time where I'm not in a position to be angry. Like, on top of my frustrations with things in the game, like the repetitive and the controls, like, I shouldn't have put it as a conditional on me being able to play Skyrim. That was a terrible decision. And it was all my own rules. Like, no one was stopping me from playing Skyrim except me. But, like, it's not like, oh, let me go beat this 5-hour game before I play Skyrim. You can't finish a 50-hour Zelda game real quick so you can play Skyrim. So I shouldn't have done that. So if I replay that, whether HD or not, I have to, like, do it where I'm not stopping myself from playing something else. But there hasn't been much else going on. I wrapped up another 12-hour drawing. I'll probably get, like, a C on. of, like, a terrible Mona Lisa. and
I looked the only like thing,
that was the best thing. That was all I could think of today. Like, I brought it for critique, but I refused to show it. But all I could think of during the presentation was that comment of 12 out of 10 looks just like Elena, and I couldn't stop smiling like
it's
at an inappropriate time.
The fire.
It was really funny. It's like the because like last time we did a major assignment when we put them up. She says if you have a name for the piece, write it down on the board. Like I didn't show mine, but I was so tempted if I did to put the Las Petrova doppelganger, or just Elena, like just to see. Like I'm the only one that gets Vampire Diaries yeah. references in there. Like we did this one of our first assignments last semester was this really weird thing where we had like this amalgam of random objects and we put them in a weird. Like hanging thing, and we had to draw it. And there were these weird plants that smelled funny, and I kept referring to them as vervain, and no one understood me. I'm like, all right, put the vervain over there, and everyone gives me weird glances. I'm like, either you have no idea what I'm talking about, or you're a vampire. So yeah, that's just been me, just Pokemon and drawing endlessly. More fabric. Apparently, there's going to be even more fabric. I asked them, like, are the next two assignments have fabric? Yes. God damn it, fucking fabric. Why aren't we all just naked? I wish clothes weren't invented for the purposes of this assignment. Alright, I'm done.
I painted, and that was my week.
Hashtag paintpocalypse.
It really was. It was the stuff of nightmares, and I did it all by myself, and I was proud and happy until I got sick as soon as I was done painting.
It's like you finally get to relax and they don't get to enjoy it.
Yeah, exactly. And
what is this for? Are you just repainting your house or something?
Yeah, we're like the bedrooms were done pretty recently, and like the hallway upstairs down through the living room is like it hadn't been done since like 2006 or something. So we really needed to do it, especially cuz my mom smokes and it like was really like nicotine-y. And we needed to paint, and I figured, hey, everybody else is working, I might as well do some shit, and I paid the price. But other than that, I had McDonald's today
for like 45 good. minutes.
Yeah, for 45 minutes. That's about it.
About all. Just a huge ass shot of Denden sensor. Well, that's a classic one. That's like way throwback. Okay, so now it's time for the entire lack of news. This just in. Actors wear hats on set and they have a logo on it. That's what happened. They're like, quick, zoom in on the hat. And then the black dude wore it. He's like, zoom in on the hat more, but do it like non-racist. And, like, they zoomed in on the hat, and, like, it just, like, PR with the, like, the tail of the R is a lightning bolt, so I don't know how exciting that is, but people be creeping on this movie. Like, it reminds me of Megaforce. Like, Megaforce was the last time I remember us being this stalkery about a cast.
Uh-huh.
They're, like, first photo of them using the bathroom in New Zealand, or not New Zealand, or wherever the hell they are. Are they New Zealand? No, they're not. I don't know. Are they?
Wait, no.
No,
Canada.
I didn't think so. Oh, yeah, okay. They're like with the Winchesters. The Winchester is going to gank them. Like this just in. Power Rangers movie cast taken out by two Winchesters with shotguns.
Oh, please.
Quote, they were shapeshifters. The only other thing we got is like an official cast image of them standing around looking like stylish youths.
Okay, I've got a story to tell about this.
All right, here we go.
All right, so you know how everyone, like, all the little whiny people in the fandom are all like, oh, Power Force, oh, they're just stuck-up assholes, they get so much credit, right? So,
exactly.
All right, this is what Saban thinks of the Power Force. We, it was last week when we had the cast image that popped up. It was like Thursday or whatever, Friday. I don't remember when it actually came out. No, it was a Monday. It was a Monday that the cast image went up. We got an email. The subject line was, Happy Monday. No. It was big it was big Power Ranger movie news. The body of the email was just Happy Monday smiley face with a link to the Entertainment Weekly or whatever it was article.
Yeah.
That's all the email was. We didn't get a high-res version of the photo or a press release or anything. It was just Happy Monday with a smiley face and a link to another website.
Yeah, but thank you guys, you get Saban all those really brands. Exciting images of, like, the Dino Charge cast standing down in, like, mundane situations. It's like, look forward to this week's episode when Tyler stands there and he's a creeper. And Coda stands in base. It's like, I cannot even get more excited for the episode when I see those.
And we got another one. It was Happy Monday. I was right. The subject line was Happy Monday. The body of the text was just a smiley face. It wasn't any fucking words.
That's even worse. The next one's just going to be that weird one with the girl who's flicking her hair that everybody uses to be sassy as shit.
The next one we got, which was about a week ago, and that was the... God, I'm all mixed up. That this one was the cast image that we got a week ago. That one was just movie news, exclamation point. Body of the email. See below. And it was a link to the Entertainment Weekly article. The Happy Monday was just the link to the fact that it's beginning production a little bit over a week ago. So yeah, those are the emails that we get for Power Force. So whoever thinks that we're like being glorified or whatever... I'm pretty sure we're on the way out.
Well, I mean, you guys also get to go to breakfast and miss meeting the main cast, so it's like...
You know, it's
I very, think in the next one, Brian's just going to wait in line for Dino Charge cast while eating bacon. That's it, I'm going.
There's going to be bacon. Get the bacon and then just take the bacon with me to the line.
No, I'm just picturing, like, everyone sitting on a table, Brian snatches bacon off of a platter and just runs away. Oh my god. Damn, I want bacon.
I really want bacon. Like,
I've said bacon too many times now, and then I can practically taste it.
Gotta get that bacon.
Gotta get that bacon.
Bacon.
Bacon. Delicious bacon.
Yummy, bacon yummy. Is basically bacon! God's taste for humans.
I love bacon, I love you. I love bacon, I love you.
I love bacon, I don't love you. I only love bacon. I have, like, a little mini story, too, of... I saw on Facebook Rangers people commenting, or rather more like bitching, about how they weren't really wearing their corresponding colors and their clothes weren't bright enough.
Are you kidding me?
No, I'm not. Like, honestly, I don't think or want the movie suits to look like we're from, like, a circus. I think we need to make them look more normal.
Yeah.
For normal people to like it. But I can't even... understand complaining about their clothes. They just look like normal fuck people. Like, what do you want? There's no way I'd want them to dress like the 90s kids with their fucking red pants. Who the hell wears red pants? And, like, Trini's dumbass hats that look like she was gonna go play cricket or something. Like, what the hell do you want these people to wear? Like, Jesus. It's like, there's no indication of the movie being dark and gritty because they're just... I don't see...
They look like normal fucking people.
Exactly! Like,
they don't look like Hollywood versions of normal people.
Their colors aren't bright enough. Poor Black Ranger.
It's like, what is wrong with you people? It's like, oh, this movie's gonna be terrible. They're not even wearing bright clothes. Like, Jesus. You all have to wear construction, like, vests? Like, what is happening with you people?
They're all gonna cosplay as a construction worker from the first Mighty Morphin Power Rangers movie.
It's a reference. They care about it. Oh man, like I'm like slash looking forward to the hilarity of the reactions of things that are going to come out of the movie, but like dreading like the bitching, like basically holding up some of the original content as if we're not making it better.
Uh huh.
Like I can just imagine the one like, when thing Rita's that costumes
I'm happy
fail.
About is that like I don't see a bunch of people freaking out about the movie on like my Facebook and stuff, like my personal Facebook, like people I went to high school with and stuff going like, oh my god, they're bringing back Power Rangers for a movie. Like, I don't see any of that, and I'm very thankful.
No.
My Facebook is a little bit sophisticated enough.
Like, I'm just not looking forward to, like, the main fandom being like, oh, that's not Billy, or, like, when they unveil Rita's costume, like, the inevitable shitstorm on both sides of like and dislike when the costumes are unveiled, and just, like, oh my god. Like, even the logo, like, that fake logo caused, like, an uprising. I'm like, Jesus! Oh, man. Like, man, but they're trying to make a Transformers? I'm like, I don't know, I'm pretty sure they make more money than you, so.
Yeah, exactly. Saying, like,
why would they want to do that? You don't even have a Buff Shia or a Mojo the dog. Like, come on now. Mojo the dog was the best character in all the Transformers movie and a little adorable cast. Everyone knows that. Agent Simmons for the PR movie. Let's just, you know, bridge the universes. let's get Monk's brother in there from the start. You'll thank me later.
He's J.K. Simmons is in Zootopia, too. Like, hey, it's Tenzin. But anyway,
that guy's the best.
He is. I don't think there's any actual news. Like,
I don't have notes this week, so
no, there really isn't. There's basically nothing. It's just like, honestly, those little bits of movie things was all I could think of, outside of like the apparent non-news that Chocolate Chip Ride the Dick Land is playing the executive producer again. They're just going to be, you know, Dutch ruddering him in Shout Factory for another couple years, so it's fine.
Chocolate Chip Ride the Dick Land.
In my recaps, I keep trying to, like, come up with, like, chip puns, and it's just not working. I'm like running out, and I'm like, oh, I'm gonna use, instead of Chip, Mrs. Potts from Beauty and the Beast.
I just want to point out while we're talking the recaps for a second how perfect Ryan Carter's face is for Schmidtisms. It's too good.
I pass it at the right places. Like, I do 12 different screenshots of like 12 different faces, and I'm like, nope, 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 Schmidt. Nope, like, nope, nope, Schmidt. Okay, which perfect. Schmidt's going to win?
It's go like, to the it's floor. Too perfect. But it's like, whenever I read it, I hear Schmidt's voice, like, ding, ding, that's the sound of round two. Like, the way Schmidt says it, like, I can hear it in my head. Oh, classic Schmidt. They're called pants. Oh, Schmidt. But yeah, so he's going to be doing some Ninja Steel stuff, and you know, probably. Although people are definitely starting to not worship him as much, but I was kind of hoping for a change. Even regardless of my sort of dislike of him, I just kind of think it would be nice to have a fresh start in general. But who knows? Maybe he'll be gone after that when we do whatever we do after that. Who knows?
Ninja Super Steel.
Well, I was thinking of like.
I know.
It'd I really nice. Like that. Go ahead.
It'd I'm just nice gonna say, help super.
Fuck it! I'm stopping.
I was saying it'd be nice if we had like a creative team that kind of cycled.
Yep.
Like Chip would do it for 2 years, and then say if Eddie? They had like Eddie Gazillion or someone on there, he would do it for the 2 years. The rest of them would still be, like, creative whatevers. I don't know terms. Yeah. But, like, one person out of that pool would be, like, the executive producer or whatever. I don't know.
Yeah, that would be nice. Like, if anybody, like, from the past I would like to come back, it would be Eddie, because I'd love for him to get a second chance. But, like, I would honestly be fine. Like, I had never heard of Eddie Gazillion before that. Like, I'd love for someone new to come in and do something amazing.
Yep, exactly.
Like especially since we're not caring about continuity, I'm like, if we're not going to care about it, let's just not care about it and do something new and cool like RPM did. Or let's, like, fuck it. So I just kind of want something fresh. Like, he's better than Zatcher, but he's still not that great. Honestly, even before Dino Charge, he's rubbed me the wrong way ever since. I don't remember where it was. I feel like it was Ranger Board. It was an interview about RPM, and he came off as real condescending about like about how Eddie and everyone handled it. Like, oh, they just copied Astronema. I'm like, well, you just copied Chocolate Chips. You're a fucking ripoff. Like, it's just like his attitude about it bothered me. Like, because the RPM original team did such a good job. And they did better than so many of the things that came before him. And the fact that, I don't know, just I didn't like the way he talked about it. And it like, he's bothered me ever since, even before, you know, Dad and all that stuff. So, yeah. Enough for bitterness. Let's get on to more bitterness. Now it's time for... Nothing! The show's over. Canceled. Ding, ding. That's the sound of round zero.
I didn't know if George was going to do it or...
I didn't know who was going to do it.
Schmidt out.
I was like having a Mucinex daze for a minute. There's a little thing on my ceiling that's like different color than the rest of my room, and it's bugging the shit out of me.
It's probably a bug.
Please no. Oh my God. I think it's a fucking spider.
God, see? You said it was bugging, so...
How do you miss this surf? What is wrong with you, Kinkler?
Kooky, kooky.
I would like to point out that Kinkler is 5 to 10 levels below everyone else in Blaine's gym right now, and he's just wrecking shit.
Because he's Kinkler. That's how he did it in the Pokemon League. First time using, boom. Straight to the semifinals.
What a fucking champ. Oh, but anyway...
superhero time.
Yeah, that.
I don't know what Kevin does now.
I don't know either.
I just don't know what Kevin does.
It's just the generic Geodude tune thing, and then
I can't do that. I'll call.
And then like he, and then there's like a weird Scooby Doo thing going on that's still not happening. Like it's just not working. So wait, so we do talk about Geodude first, okay? I always forget.
Yeah, that's how it works, bro.
Look,
that's how it works since season one.
I'm having a hard time since with just life. So yeah, Geodude was about snock sniffing. Snock sniffing? sock sniffing. What I thought was funny about that scene was not even the lol he's sniffing someone's stinky socks, it was the guy stumbling upon him. Like, does this guy have a fetish? That was funny.
Wait, do you... I there's a perfectly good explanation for this. I don't want to know! He just, like, walks out. That's, like, the kind of, like, oddball humor that I like. Like, uh-huh. Yeah, it's not in-your-face, goofy-ass humor. It's just, like, a very calm joke that they got to do repeatedly throughout this episode that I thought was actually really funny.
Was there not another article of clothing he could have used? Like, they wear other things? I mean, clearly laundry hadn't been done, so I don't know. But as for the episode, I thought it was a pretty average episode. I didn't think it was like spectacular or anything, but I thought it was pretty solid.
It was just fun and funny. I like the like human moments.
I don't want to say tension, but. Just the interaction between Leo and Sela was just really enjoyable. Like both,
I think they're my
both
favorites
actors right now. Did it really good.
Like what I liked about this part was that, well, I guess in general so far is that the characters still have their funny like bits, but they still feel like characters. Like they're not like, you know, facial expressions. That just happen every week. So, like, I like that we have that going so far, and like, there was nothing spectacular about this episode, but I like that they continued that, and I liked, like, the use of flashbacks to the Juman world, and, like, just sort of fleshing that out a little bit more, and sort of giving a little bit of a mini-subplot about her wanting him to fight seriously one day. And, like, I'm sure it made all the people happy that, like, freak out every time a Sentai girl gets in a wedding dress. So, like, that'll keep him calm for a little bit. I hear, like, a buzzing. I think I'm losing it.
Yes, so do I.
No, I don't.
Okay. It's so Jar Jar just was losing it. Yeah, it's gone now. It's probably just a swarm. It reminded me of like when you run into like a swarm of bees or an Animal Crossing. Animal Crossing. Anyway. Anyone else have any thoughts about Animal Crossing?
I really am liking I'm liking the way the show's going right now. I like the characters and the directing is beautiful. I haven't felt that since like Cure Uger, sorry.
I was just gonna agree, like that the effects and the cinematography and the action is all just really good. Like Jyotr's like nothing mind blowing yet, but it's just a very nice show to sit and watch. Like
I'm legitimately excited.
That's a really good way of describing it. The new episode come out. I'm like, I'm going to just sit down and enjoy the show. I'm not going to be angry at it. I might not be like at the end of it. I might not be clapping, going, "This is fucking awesome," but it's good and I good enjoy clap. It. And that's what fucking counts for me. And I'm so happy to have that emotion when watching a Sentai again.
That's a really good way of describing it. It's just kind of enjoyable to watch. Like, it is nice when it comes out and you're not dreading it. And like, it's like the past couple weeks, like after I'm done with the session on drawing, like it's just nice to sit back, relax, and watch it and be happy about it. Also, something I noticed is that we're not full on into it, but I this is one of the first times I haven't had that transition toku time of you're not my real dad. You know, like, where it feels awkward and, like, you're not, you know, transitioned yet. Because, like, Ninja never really got me. Like, I still felt like it was, like, by the end of the finale, I felt like episode 3 was last week. So, like, I haven't had that weird transition-y feeling yet. Like, it just feels right that it's Jyotr now, if that makes any sense. Mm-hmm. Like, when a series ends after a while, so.
Yep, it totally feels that way.
So, like, I hope it does continue to get better, at least be enjoyable. Like, at the moment now, it's nice to at least not be so upset and, like, have something to like. And I really like the roll call. It's cool.
Yeah, it was really cool.
It's so pretty. This is just a pretty fuck show.
It's sitting on the back of the DVD box. Shukun Shinobi says, a pretty fuck show.
The people are pretty. The effects are pretty. Everything's pretty.
And I want to fuck that gorilla suit.
The suits are pretty. Oh,
dear Lord, cleans Giles' glasses. Cleans Wesley's glasses, too, for good measure. Oh, man.
Not the character. I just want that fucking suit.
Wait, I hate to ask this, but are we talking about, like, the
Ranger suit? No, the Ranger suit, yes.
Okay, I thought we were talking about the Ape Named Ape for next week. forgot to mention, we're getting a cameo from George of the Jungle next week. It's a crossover event. Brendan Fraser's in it, Leslie Mann, the guy that played Sandman who just says, Ursula! Don't remember his name. But mainly the ape named Ape, you know. I think the elephant's name was Shep. He's going to come in as a friend of Tusk.
I have traumatic George of the Jungle flashbacks because kids in school would gather around me and beat the shit out of me and scream in the jungle.
Jesus, I'm so sorry. And I just kept going on and on.
New Jersey is literally the version of New Jersey that How I Met Your Mother joked about. Like,
Jesus.
Except I'm in like the backwoods, like deep south version of that.
Jesus. I'm honestly just impressed that Dawson remembered Tusk's name.
They make it really easy because they're all animal related.
Yeah, exactly. I know like, all their names.
It's like the version of that shape game you press when you're little to learn shapes, but for Sentai. Oh, man. That's early on. Just learning the people's name in my class. Finally, I learned the one girl's name in my class isn't Hat. I just called her Hat because she always wore hats.
I just called her Hat.
Sounds like a good Lifetime movie. The girl Hat.
It does sound like it would be a Lifetime movie or like a Hallmark movie.
Yeah, Hallmark's like Lifetime's ugly cousin.
It's like with even more cheese, but like not the good kind.
Now I want cheese.
I want cheese and bacon. Why isn't this happening? Speaking of cheese and bacon, should we move on to Ghost, I guess?
I forgot to watch Ghost. So.
Like, I love JoJo. I don't have anything else to really say about it.
Like I said, it wasn't a monumental episode. It was just kind of, I guess, filler, I guess you'd say. And Ghost, we sort of redoubled up because we didn't really talk about last week, which I actually thought last week was more eventful than this week. Because Spectre came back to normal and we found out that the old guy is, like, involved with, like, the council of ghost people. And this week was... I just watched it today and I'm having a hard time remembering. Oh, that Genma that's, like, was sort of honorable, but that dude, like, brainwashed her.
Oh, yeah. But, chivalry, yeah. And shit, I don't know.
Exactly. On point. And, like, Takaharu... No, no. Takaru.
No!
Please,
no!
God, no!
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 Takaru was trying to get to the Gamma World, but he kept failing. And Spectre turned into a ghost icon and floated back into the Gamma World. And I love how the patrol in wherever he was breaking into was icons. It's like the least threatening bodyguards of all time. And we did. That was another reveal that revealed. God damn it, that word's ruined too. That happened last week was that his body's in the Gamma World, like Jin style. I think.
Surprise equals zero.
Well, I mean, but like there was actually a lot of things that happened last week. Like that they said that, like, this week just did kind of feel like a kind of meh week compared to last week in terms of like three different things happening.
Yeah, like it's nice that Necrom's gonna actually. Last week was pretty intense.
Like, it's nice that Necrom's actually gonna be able to use his normal suit from now on. Like, that's just weird. It weirded me out. Like, so close. Like, if this had been like 10 or so episodes afterwards, but like it was like the episode after his debut practically that he like put his jacket on Spectre like it was his girlfriend, like, wear my jacket now, we're going steady.
that entire plot just bothered me. Like, it really didn't do anything except go like, oh, look at Alon, he's got issues. That was really
honestly
about it.
I think the actor had to be somewhere. I think he had jury duty like Jess. Maybe he was having a baby. I mean, honestly, why isn't every show using the Gemini twins magic pregnancy excuse from now on? I mean,
exactly. Honestly,
that's like the most logical thing I could ever think of. that's what it felt like, though. Like, as a storytelling device, it wasn't terrible for an episode or two just to show that Alan's like basically trying not to admit that he likes being friends with Spectre, but like it went on way too long. Like, it felt like seriously like the actor needed to be somewhere. Like I said, he got Tommy'd. So
last week also gave us the information that like the hermit guy is like the magistrate of the Gamma Council or something.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. So like, it's unclear what was he talking about at the end. Like, was I can't remember if it was in the preview or in the episode where he was just like, "Oh, we only need things," and then he just started maniacally laughing, and he was like in a lab.
I don't know. The thing that was like not blacked out, but it was like a gray prototype of a toy.
Oh yeah, the driver. Yeah,
is the new driver, and obviously he needs all the icons to like channel into the driver to activate it or whatever, and. I don't know if he's got good intentions and is doing this for Takeru, or if, like, this guy's actually really fucked up and he's gonna be, like, a big bad or something. I don't...
Is it, like, a white wizard situation?
I'm not really
sure. Is his daughter
sure.
Okay?
You going my whole day.
I don't know. Like, that's at least... I didn't expect that, like, that he would be involved. I expected that he was involved in the Gamma World, but not necessarily, like, amongst the council. So I think that's kind of an interesting bit to add to it. I love how, like, casually it was treated that he handed over all of his icons. Like, I mean, he's just like, oh, whatever, here they are. And then, like, he just goes back to working on going to the Gamma World. Like, bro, all your powers are gone. Like, the Batcave has been raided of all the suits. Why are we not on high alert? And, like, even a little ending thing, like, you know, when they show which writer has which icons, didn't have all of his things.
But don't worry, he's got Boosto! Ghost!
Oh, god damn it. He keeps spamming that. I'm like, can we just do the normal one? I kind of like it better. At least he didn't use, like... Which I like that, kind of like that he can mix and match the jackets, but, like, everything looks so contrasty with Boost. But he's been using that a lot. But it just seems so, like, after all the importance put on the icons and, like, when certain ones would get taken away, that, like, it's just so casual, like, all right, here's my big sack. Like, I think it's funny what he carries him in, too. Like, because Riders and Sentai and whatever always just pull it out of air. And, like, he's got this giant-ass fucking, like, sack of just a bunch of icons, like, inside his shirt. Doesn't take up that much space. Like, all right, here they are. And that guy had to awkwardly put them back because they all fell out. I don't think that was scripted. They just didn't want to reshoot it.
His eye sack.
Oh, God. iSack sounds like some sort of Apple device, like it's a sack that you just put your devices in and it charges them. Like you just stick your iPad in there, your iPod, your phone, and then it'll just charge them like sackily. Sackily? Wow, that sounded really dirty.
Purchase the iSack.
That sounds like something that would have happened on iCarly.
Yeah, exactly.
There was... One of the people in my class drew, like, an iPod for their piece, but they didn't want to draw an iPad. So they're like, oh, so I made it an orange. I'm like, why didn't you make it a pear pod? You fucking casual. Don't you know what a pear pod is? God. What's up with these antics? Start spreading butter on my face. I miss Spencer.
I miss all of iCarly.
I really do. I miss iCarly and Victorious.
Yeah.
What's up with these antics?
I forgot, like, that was such a funny episode that addressed people that didn't like Spencer's B-plots. Like, I love that they're like, alright, fuck it, we're gonna make an episode about that. Yep. Where Spencer just puts butter on his face and says, what's up with these antics? Like, oh. Yeah. Their writing was, like, if they don't get enough credit for how clever their writing is.
Oh.
I meant to mention this a ways back when they were doing that bullying episode in PR, and everyone was like, oh, it's a good lesson. I'm like, you know, I loved iCarly's solution to bullying, which was just get a butter sock and beat your bully up with it. like, that's how you do it. Like, I loved that. Or like Jade would just slam the door in the face of Girl Scouts. Like that's the kind of kids TV should be watching. Wait. I mean, kind of TV kids should be watching.
That's the kind of kids TV should be watching.
Oh, man. It's happening.
I was in the Twilight Zone.
Okay, I was like, it's happening. What's going on?
That is the question. Okay. But I'm happy that shit's, like, actually happening. That's
yeah.
We're better there's off like, than we were, at the very least.
Yeah. There's at least, like, some plot questions I'm actually interested in. It's not, like, Gaim level or anything where I'm, like, constantly thinking about it. But, like, there's at least something I'm intrigued by going on. At least there's a bit more movement going on. And it's not, you know, like, this story of the week thing. And so, yeah. We're at least going in the right direction, I think. Yay. All right. Is that it for the ghost?
The only thing I want to say is...
Nope.
That canon is fucking irritating as all hell.
Why, because she just goes around and talks about her brother all the time?
Well, yeah, but, like, she's just always in the way. She just, like, appears like when she shows places. Up during fights? Yeah.
Just gets in the fucking way. Annoying. Like, she's, like, the annoying sister that, like, always wants to hang out with her brother, and, like, he's in the middle of a fight. What you up to? What you up to? Like, if there's a gun pointed at her, what you up to? Can I play? Classic canon.
Can I play?
What did they name that art dopant? I mean, Ganon? Ganon? Wow, hold on.
Ganma?
Yeah. Okay, I needed a minute. What do they name him? Cubes? Cubes?
Cupie. Cutie? Cupie?
Something like that. Cupie doll?
Well, it has nothing to do with that. Like, he's like Picasso. I don't... Oh. I don't know. It's probably a reference to something I don't get.
I don't know. Movie reference. But I don't know. I thought it was kind of funny. That, like, he's part of their little group now, just being, like, this weird random monster mascot, constantly painting on Bald Guy's head with his terrible effect.
Just what we need in their annoyance in the show.
Like, I was just thinking, I was wondering how long he's going to be there. Like, I didn't expect I expected him to die.
Like, even if he lived, I was expecting him to just kind of, like, go away.
Yeah, like, I thought he would just kind of be off on his own and maybe appear every now and then, so I don't know, I mean, we probably need at least one more shouting character. Like, all of Ghost's supporting characters are basically Silent and Clement. That's basically what they are.
Basically.
Okay, gotcha. I did. Okay. Now we done with Ghost?
Yeah.
Alright, haven't done that in a while. Okay, so now it's time for...
Dad Church discussions with Dad.
Sorry, oh, I had to.
It's too perfect. Okay, so this episode started with some creepy bonding, right? That was the helmetless bike adventure, right? Where are their helmets, though? Like, did they leave them somewhere?
It literally looked like Tyler had his hand on his dad's, like, inner thigh, and it scared the shit out of
me. That's disturbing. Like, everything about it just feels creepy.
I know.
He's, like, way too overly enthusiastic about it.
This is awesome-tastic, Dad!
Dad's like, yes, it is, son. Dialing, how to get witness protection. 911.
Get away with murder. Get me Viola Davis and Shonda Rhimes on the phone right now.
I need to fix her. Where is Olivia Pope? She can handle this. Call Shonda Rhimes. She can kill any character. Ride him into death. But, okay, so James explained where he was, which is actually essentially what Brian said last week. From what was the description? Was it the website or the something about him running on from Fury? Remember we talked about that last week?
Yeah.
Found that description. I don't remember where it was from. I guess it doesn't matter where it was from.
It was I think just a Nick site.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. There we go. But here's the thing: that explanation would be fine if there was more around it to make sense. Like Fury. Okay. There was indication that Fury knew where his dad was, but you think there would be more indication that he knew there was another energy gem, especially how often Sledge and now Heckle is on his case. And, like, Fury's been attacking the Rangers and clearly not been hunting anybody else. And it doesn't make any sense. Like, it would have made sense. Like, I mentioned several times I like that they saved Aqua because it was different. But it would have made more sense now if they had introduced him on time with the footage. If him been like, oh, Fury's been chasing me, but then I saw there was more Rangers and I decided to get help. Then it would have made sense. Or why not have him not be running from Fury? What if instead of introducing Singe as someone who just showed up, what if Singe showed up a long time ago and has been hunting Tyler's dad and he didn't want to bring another enemy to the Rangers? Boom. Or what if you made any other villain that's going to be important, or even if it was like a one-off villain, be hunting him and he was like, alright, there's other Rangers but I don't want to bring this to them, or he finds out his son's a Ranger, I don't want to bring this threat to them. There's so many ways they could have fixed it. This one just honestly makes him look like a sissy. Where he's like, he's running from a guy that's not even chasing him anymore. And they're honestly, I don't like this explanation, but there should have been more indication that Fury was after him other than, oh, your dad is. And then they've never talked about it since then. It's like ninja style of storytelling. Like, I can't remember between that time when Gold debuted, or around when Gold debuted, when he fought Fury, that Fury has been addressed in reference to Tyler's dad. Has there been anything?
Not even once.
Yeah, see? Like,
they showed the journal in the background of one shot.
Oh, there we go. Solved. Thanks, Chip. You saved us again. But, like, there's so many cooler ways it could have been done. It's just, it's frustrating.
That anchor just accurately describes my feelings toward this show right now. Frustrating. Really? Nothing about Tyler's dead makes any lick of sense.
No.
Whatsoever. Like, Oh, every time I tried to do anything, Fury was always there to stop me. When? How? How?
Exactly.
Like, I like your idea about Singe. That would have worked fine.
Yeah.
Like, oh, there's this guy named Singe, and he was attacking me constantly, trying to get the Aqua Energem. I didn't want to do whatever to risk hurting you guys or putting you guys in more danger. So I hid.
Or let him find more energems. Like, exactly. There's so many cooler ways they could have done it.
They could have done fucking amnesia. Like,
exactly. Or, like, a coma. Like remember Kit's dad? Kit didn't freak out. Yeah. Oh, my dad was actually Xaviax trying to freak me out. Fuck this. I'm Lunsford. I'm just going to get a cool black suit and fuck shit up with Matt Mullins. Yeah. That's how you do it. And then I'm just going to, you know, order a cannabis to murder people. That's how you do it.
This is my boy. His name is Roy.
Doing the Lunsford, just leaning against things, sleeping. But it's just like there's so many better ways, and it makes it worse how much of a focal point his dad's been to have such a lackluster and sloppy reveal and like circumstances around it. And like I think it was a mistake, like tying Fury to it, and then also deciding to go through with more or less just adapting Chiryu Gold's story because it was so tied in with Fury. Like, it created this confusion, and, like, I don't know. It made Fury basically too busy of a character, and then they didn't do anything about it. So, like, it's still, like, they gave an explanation, but it still doesn't hold up for me for anything. At least they hired an actor to play his dad that has a dumbass look on his face as Tyler does. Yes. They both have this look on their face like, where's my brain? Like, they always have that look. Like, it's perfect.
And then they were like, guys, his voice doesn't sound like a screaming chicken. Dub it!
He's the grown-up version of the kid from Dino Thunder. Hey, lady! That was Tyler's dad. It's really weird because it's not well done all the time either. You can see his voice is out of sync with his lips. I'm like, yeah. Wait, am I watching a Chinese movie? What's happening?
Hey, lady.
Oh my god. That kid will haunt our nightmares forever. Never forget. Dino Charge Dub Kid. Dino Thunder Dub Kid. You said Dino Charge instead. Now I'm going to comment on your video 20 times.
I'm so sorry.
Yeah, people are the worst. But yeah, everything about that was sloppily handled. How is an energem so easily cracked? Why does Tyler think he's the only one that used that mode?
I'm the only one that's Tyler ever used Dino Armor X. Somewhere Chase is crying.
Like, what was... Was there anything in Charger like that? Like the equivalent of the cracked energem?
No.
I didn't think so, but like... It seems really flimsy that, like, these things could crack so easily by Kendall just using the microwave on it or whatever she did.
So, okay, how awesome was it when they had the Megazord out and then Tyler threw the Dino Supercharger in the air and went into Rexy's mouth and Rexy transformed into the Morpher, but the Megazord was still fighting? That part was great.
That's, like, I've seen a couple people Dino mention Church. That. But that's, like, a mistake that if Super Mega Force did it, like, there would be people still shredding the shit out of the episode for that. But I've only seen a few people mention that here. I just hate the hypocrisy behind that. Because, like, they would get so attacked for
that. It is the biggest fuck mistake, like, you could ever do. Like, what's worse is that you can't even, like, throw the argument that, like, oh, it's, like, a different tool. Like, they're fighting in the goddamn Megazord. And he throws it, and it goes into the volcano, and Rexy pops out and changes into the fucking gun and goes in his hand.
It's Rexy's
Meanwhile,
brother,
Rexy's
Texy.
Still there.
Roxy!
It's Roxy. Kip Hackman.
Roxy's like a fool.
Roxy's
like a Tyrannosaurus.
Dino Roxy Supercharge.
Already a better show.
Really? Honestly. Would rather be watching Hannah Montana reruns, to be honest. I had a good day, Daddy. That would have been an amazing title. Damn it.
Oh, man.
I'm saving it. Damn it. I should have done I should say good day, Daddy. Damn it. Classic Jackson, who never ages. Still looks the same. Pretty sure he's a Hobbit.
87 now. He just
still on like Disney XD show Kung Fu Warriors 7 or whatever they're doing. lab rats, I don't know. Rats, I've come here to hurt you. Those of you that weren't scared off, I'm actually coming in peace. But yeah, so that was another fuck up. What else was happening in this episode? Philip was there for like 3 seconds.
Yes, President.
That was the best. Like the expression on his face.
That's my favorite picture I've ever done for the recap.
It's so good. Basically, James got his reactions to like all of that stuff involving like aging. And I like how he says it stole 10 years of his life. I'm like, didn't it more like just give you infinity years?
Yeah.
Are you an idiot? Yes, I forgot. You're just like, Tyler, you don't have a brain. So that's why you have that look on your face. It's just... Side gorillas, though. He showed off all of the modes really fast. And George's recap also reminded me that both Bandai Japan and America lost an opportunity for such a cool toy of like switching out the arms.
Yep.
Like,
yep.
It's so perfect for a cool
the
toy.
The closest thing you could use is the mix and morph toys.
Yeah.
Like, that's the closest you can get.
But it's like, even if it wasn't good, like, I can't believe they didn't try on either side.
We have hundreds of those little dinosaurs, the cute little dinosaurs. And they could have had a little feature where you pop the little ass off them and stick it on the fucking arm.
Pop the little ass off.
Like, it's just a wasted opportunity. And now Tyler's dad's off escaping his son again to use his geology skills or whatever, or hiking skills, I don't know, to go find the silver energem because... they're having a shit time. Why don't they just have Philip do it again? He's the only one that really found one.
Yeah, exactly. He's just going to walk around the bathroom in the palace and be like, oh, there's an energem in the floor tile.
He's going to pull a Brian with he found Entei. Oh, this is a bit awkward. We actually made our tile out of the energem. So it's destroyed. I would give it to you, but it's really nice tile. So...
let's put lava in the bathroom!
Actual quote from Tyler.
How do you use Dino MRX?
It's hard to tell, based on the competency level that's going on with the writing right now, whether his dad will actually be involved with Silver's introduction. I mean, obviously, it was just a tool to get rid of him because of the footage. Sentai, I guess, all that. But I don't know whether or not it's actually going to pay off. I'm going to assume not right now, but you never know. I was thinking about how, as much as I really like Dino Superdrive, if they're just going to use it for the cockpit only... I know it's for toys, but I would just save that budget to make more original footage for, like, Aqua and Graphite and Purple.
Yep.
Because it's so... especially Purple, like, they're really giving no reason why Kendall's not helping. Like, no Cyber Kendall, no original footage, no, like, oh, it's more awkward for her. Like, at least with Philip, you're like, okay, you're running a country or whatever, but he should still really be around more often. I really don't care about Tyler's dad leaving because honestly, I don't like the guy. But
it makes more sense for her to be around all the time because she is around all the time.
Yeah, and like I said, they could easily film their own Zord footage because we're doing it already. Like, unless some reason the purple suit costs more, I don't know. It's kind of frustrating in that respect where it's like so clearly written out. And then like awkward things like Philip showing up in the pilot or the premiere of this season. And then for no reason, like, he just showed up to be fabulous and then left. Such a hot mess right now. It really is. And I hate to, like, always bring this up bitchy-wise, but it really is funny seeing people trying to come up with every possible reason that, like, it's not Chip that's causing this in any way. Like, it might not be just him that's causing the awfulness, like, but I mean, he's definitely got to be involved in shittiness.
It's not.
No.
Like, to get money, this is what's going on. To get money, they had to basically hire New Zealand writer interns.
Uh-huh.
And that started with this season of the show.
I knew that shit, like, before everybody else, and I was like, oh, yay.
But the thing is that, whoa, I can all of a sudden hear myself, like... Random sidetrack. Watching that Best of RRR3, I don't brag, but my blue barking is on point. I just want to say that. Like, just want to say that. Anyway, but the thing is, I'm fake. Let me send it to you. I don't need you to send it to me. Like, I'm the only one that cares. Anyway.
Kiefer's not like, going out of the goddamn park.
Really. Anyway. And the fucking Earth Mightiest Heroes theme at the end. Goddamn.
Yes!
Oh, so good.
But it was, like, slowed down. It was perfect. Yeah.
Anyway, totally sidetracked. But the thing is that it's not like these problems are new. It's just, like, they're to the forefront now and people are noticing them. I think Dino Charge had some of the same problems.
Exactly. I think it had all the same problems, almost.
And so, but, like, it's just annoying to think that people don't think that there's any way he could possibly be wrong, is what I'm trying to say. And, like, these problems existed before. It's just people are just now noticing them. And it's just
the
annoying.
They're writing everything from what I've seen, like, behind the scenes and stuff. It's like the New Zealand writers are being pegged on after to, like, fix little things, or they're brought in and then the writer's room changes them a little bit. And then Judd will add things, or it'll be his script, and then they'll peg things onto his. And so it's like a group effort of shit.
It's like a collaboration piece.
No wonder it's so awful. Like,
yeah. And it's a lot of his fault. It's not everybody else, you know, faulting him. It's like the reverse of what Stephen Moffat does, where he comes in and he goes, this doesn't make sense with what I'm writing. Can I rewrite the end? You know, like, it just kills me.
It's just a hot mess.
When you look at the writing credits for an episode and there's four different people, that's definitely a hot mess.
So it's definitely going to be interesting, to say the least, how the rest of the season's recaps are going to turn out. Just to see how...
It's the best because it's filler the show season 2. Like,
basically.
Electric Boogaloo.
But it's not like the original was problem-free. Like, I never felt this any sort of impact about anything, even with the finale.
No.
Of Dino Charge. Like, it never felt... It's hard to describe. Like, this is, like, indescribable feeling of, like, when you feel shit's going down or you feel, like, the importance. Like, I never felt this importance. Like, there's, like, I miss when there were actual two-parters and, like, not just, oh, this episode sort of talks about the last one. Like, I miss actual two-parters.
I miss a lot of things. I miss Disney.
Yeah, so do I. I miss, like, the Disney score. Like, I know they used those shitty, like, default music every now and then, but they also had, like, these perfect scores that encapsulated the theme of the series.
It's better than when I'm watching Dino Charge and recognize GarageBand loops that you can use in iMovie.
Uh-huh.
Well, yeah, and they use, like, the same background tracks from, like, Samurai. Like, I noticed the Samurai Rangers Go to the Carnival song, like, a million times. And, like, it's, like, the same. Like, we got a little bit better with the theme song being a little bit different, but everyone always talks about Wasserman's music, but I love how each Disney season had this score that fit the tone of that season, whether it was, like, Mythical or, like, SPDs or
fucking
even
Ninja
Dino
Storms.
Thunders. Ninja Storms headbanging music is the best. Dun, 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 dun. So good. But yeah, that's something that needs to be fixed. And the whole
when
super
you're
thing.
Watching the Food Network and you oh, hear the same music as Tyler's emotional dad return, that's the problem. Like
that's the shit I'm talking about. Like,
or like the naming of the Zords, we're just like X and X formation, but compared to Titan Megazord, that's a cool fucking Battle Fleet Megazord's a cool name. Like, yep. Come on, they had some cool fucking names in the Disney era. Like I mentioned this before, I like the formation names for like auxiliary combinations, but not for like Raiden, Kyujin and stuff, where it should get a cool Megazord name. Because it's like its own Megazord. And then like every other Megazord is just series name Megazord.
Yeah.
Like I don't know how much of that is Bandai and how much is Saban, but it's like, come on now.
I think it's pretty much all Saban.
I feel like it has to be because
yeah,
like all of Disney's were original and then when it got back to Saban it became shit names.
Like the only cool one was Legendary Megazord. I liked that name. But everything else was like, it's like, Jesus, we need to fix so many things.
Yep.
And like I don't, they really needed to fix, it's probably due to the mess that's happening, but like the transition for the Super this year, like they just started calling themselves Super and the reason for the season didn't, rhymed, didn't happen until like six episodes in and then it's still not acknowledged and it's just
still not necessary.
No, not really at all. Like, it's basically just here.
Only one of them is Super.
It's like, here's this.
Even if they added, like, a subtitle onto the title, like, Power Rangers Ninja Steel, The Road to Steel, or like...
just, like, kind of like Pokemon does, like...
Yeah, exactly.
Power Rangers Dino Charge, Galactic Dimensions, or whatever. Like, just Galactic yeah. Battles. Power Rangers Dino Charge, Master Quest, Johto League Journeys. Like,
I'm on a Master Quest.
I want the whole XYZ. World to see.
I believe!
Oh, God. That was another one that Keith used in the credits was, I think it was Advanced Battles theme. That was the, yeah, that one's good.
My favorite.
That was a good one.
Advanced Battles is fucking great. Yeah. It's got an extended version that's not shit. It's wonderful.
Muscle Island. The best fucking episode. God. Only one with plot at the end in the whole fucking series.
But how do they get to Pokemon? Oh, yeah, the titles. Yeah, they should just do that. Well, no, but like I've mentioned that before, that like sometimes series will do that. Like when Ben 10 did Ben 10... Omniverse, what would they call it? Galactic Monsters? Something like that. Perfect. Yeah. Like, it demonstrates a new arc. You can get new, like, packaging material for the toys so that it kind of elicits excitement.
Yeah.
But,
Gotham,
like, the Super thing. With
Rise and Wrath of the Villains, like...
Gotham, what is happening? Like,
Gotham's doing it and it doesn't even need to.
Exactly. But, like, that's the perfect way to do it because, like, I'm sure even kids or, like, people that aren't part of this fandom are noticing, like, hey, they've done this thing, like, four fucking times now.
Yep.
Like, it's like something's got to give. At the very least, like, at the minimum, I would love for them to use a different word next year. But that's probably asking too much.
Duper Ninja Steel.
Isn't Ultra better than Super? No, it's not.
No.
It kind of reminds me of like that survey in the office. Of, like, I thought very strongly agree sounded stronger than totally agree. yeah. So how much longer do we have? I know this week's off, and then we're back. And then it's like, what, a couple more weeks until everyone starts freaking out over the hiatus? We already had the pre-hiatus bitching, so like the hiatus bitching is on the way. Alright, so we have like three more episodes? Or two more?
Yeah.
I think two. Yeah, two what more episode baseball? Was this? Six?
Yeah, I think this was six. Yeah, definitely.
We got two more.
Okay, so we're off for a week, and then we get 2 weeks. Okay.
I think we hiatus at 8, I believe. So.
Okay. I'm honestly not going to miss it.
Nope.
Like, I'm going to miss the recap just for the Seraphists.
This was one of the instances where I don't really care. Like, unless you end on, like, some super cliffhanger that I need to see, like, you show me, like, Torrin's hand or something, then I'll be a little bit picky. But...
yeah.
Torrin's hand.
That's literally just... half the shots I have of him on set.
I know. You got, like, the worst fucking pictures of him. It's, like, a hand, a feather.
And then there's one where I have a full body fucking photo of him, but there's, like, two Asian stuntmen in front of him, and, like, I can't show their faces with their kids next to them. Like, if I post it. And he's like,
the Emperor doesn't put a smiley face over him.
He's holding his Morpher up, and I'm like, fuck.
You should just do like the Emperor does when he takes pictures of himself and just put, like, smiley faces over everyone. just put pictures of the New Girl cast, like, all of a sudden Nick's there. Peekaboo sneak. Damn it, Winston. God, so dude. Good. So yeah. I'm basically just going to miss the recaps. I'm not going to look forward to hiatus bitching, spoiler bitching, just any kind of chutney, really. Just any of it. Just I'm not gonna miss the weekly ratings reports, but I know what I find hilarious every year is that they will do ratings reports on the reruns. Uh-huh. Like, I know that people still count that. I mean, like, because they just do. But I mean, like, it's funny that people will report it. It's like, oh, this week's rerun did shitty. I'm like, well, it's a rerun, so. Alright, I think that's about it.
Bingo!
Oh, God, wait. is I think that's about it?
I got arc? Bingo!
Wait. This is important.
What did you get bingo on?
I got bingo. Wait, let me open up the blank card because I put little pictures of Winston on top. Oh, I'm posting this to Twitter later. Okay, I have blank space or free space, pun in the title.
Oh, that's
Kevin falls asleep while he was asleep. That's like another free space. I guest star and hiatus bitching. Bingo.
Oh, man. Hiatus bitching.
That's good. I thought it was, that's about it. I'm like, I don't remember that from being there. I mean, I say that a lot, but not funny enough to be included in bingo. Oh, that's too good. I feel like every time George is on now, he has to play bingo.
Oh, I definitely am going to.
And he has to use pictures of Winston every time, or just any cast.
No, he's a different New Girl cast member.
Next, the Reagan one is just her in different movies, like Transformers, Jennifer's body. This is 40.
Perfect. Just her puking up black slimy blood.
Oh God!
Keep playing bingo. I want to see how far you get by the time we're done.
Okay.
Round, ding ding. That's the sound of round two. Too perfect.
So, someone needs to go back and listen to the 300th episode to see if you can do a coverall.
Oh my God.
Kiefer, you're on it.
I don't know if I can get another. Oh no, there's one little strip where I could get another bingo. Never mind. Because there's some that, like, Kevin has to be here for.
Because now it's time for ramble time.
Yeah. So, real quick discussion on this week's Pokemon was about Brian's favorite Pokemon ever, Audino, and Mega Gate. Evolution.
It evolved into Mega Gate.
I think the idea of using a Mega Evolution Stone on, like, a Pokemon Center Pokemon is funny, because it's like, oh man, my Pidgey's sick. All right, Mega Evolve. Puts bandage on. I just think that's a really funny idea.
I like how... They're like, why did I get an Audino and everyone got a Wigglytuff? Because you're that big of a dumb shit, we needed to bring in a veteran for you.
And, like, I was forgetting, like, because I know that in Unova they all use Audinos, but I was thinking, I couldn't remember what they used in Kalos, because everyone else uses Chanseys. I forgot they used Wigglytuffs.
Yeah.
Because I was like, I couldn't remember that many instances of Nurse Joy. And then I remembered when they finally showed that scene that they used Wigglytuffs. Like, I forgot they actually changed that up, because Nurse Joy was just the same face and Chansey for, like, four generations.
I like how it took, so, like, yeah. 5,000 people to pull Nurse Joy out of a cavern. Like, her fucking leg was stuck. It's not like she was, like, buried deep or something.
It was a major event. Balls deeper. Dear God, it's happening. That's what Brock would be saying if he was here. Brock would have my back. Instead, Sylon's like, the future's now thanks to science. I brought this wedge that I thought would happen. Did I say Sylon?
The future's now thanks to science. I can't just use my Bunnelby to dig her free. No, I gotta use my fucking Apom arm.
The future is now thanks to Aerosol.
Fucking Kiefer. Oh my god.
But it wasn't like a terrible episode or anything. What's his name? Professor Sycamore collected some DNA on Squishy, and Squishy looked very disgruntled about it.
Squishy was like, I don't want none of your bullshit.
He was like, oh, hell nah.
You fucking, hipster you're just a Professor Oak
ripoff. Just like all the birds rip off of Pidgeys, you're a Professor Oak ripoff. Just another damn tree ripoff. Like, and all Professor Sycamore really has to do is just go to Serebii, and he can find out what it is. I don't even know why he's so dumb.
So dumb, just use Google.
Just Google, what is Squishy? I feel like that will yield gross results.
Google.com/squishy.
But yeah, it wasn't that bad. I did mention, unless I didn't, I just forgot it, but the theme song for this season is actually pretty decent.
I imagine it's better. I like it, it's just so short. Like, it's hard to get into. Like, I feel like you were a 3-minute song, like, I'd get into you and get pumped, but, like, 30 seconds is just like, oh, this is it's over.
Okay. Yeah, I want to check out an extended version if they have one, because it could be pretty decent, but, like, it's got the makings of a really decent one, kind of like the old Advanced Generation ones and stuff, and even just, like, the animations in it, which is, I'm sure, from the Japanese openings, but has some pretty cool stuff going on. But that's really all I have to say about that.
Pokemon.
I like that one. It's just be a hero a lot. And you're
be
right.
Be a hero.
That was all it was. It was just that and Pokemon, like, over and over again. There was no Supergirl this week, so it wasn't Better Call Kara Knight. Chronologically next is S.H.I.E.L.D., right?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the thing that's happening.
I'm so happy the show's back, you have no idea.
Me too!
Yeah. It was a pretty solid episode for returning, too. I mean, I don't know why the Avengers didn't just show up and solve all their problems, but... God damn it, I hate that so much. Don't even know. Like, even without the explanation of money and hiring actors, like, they wouldn't show up anyway. Everyone has their own problems. But yeah, is Yo-Yo any sort of character from the comics?
Yeah, she's just Yo-Yo.
Me? Oh, okay. Well, another one solved.
Yo-Yo.
She's called Slingshot, and she's one of the biggest secret warriors from the comics. Her power's exactly the same. Like, they didn't change it at all, except I don't remember if she speaks English. Or not. I don't know.
That's kind of unique. Like, she's like a speedster, but, like, it's like conditional. Like, the heartbeat and, like, this boomeranging back to where you were, which is kind of neat. I like how Mac figured it out. That was kind of smart. He didn't get to really take much advantage of it when he fought her, but still. I also like how Bobby and Hunter admitted that they either took or thought about taking the fish pills. Oh, good.
Sorry. Mac is totally... There's another secret warrior in the comics called... his name's not going to come to me now. It's not Strong Arm. That's a Transformer.
she did.
God, I was just talking about it last night. God, I gotta like rustle through my comics, but there's another Inhuman that's like a secret warrior, and he basically fits the character, but he's not Spanish, he's black. And like they all made that jokes, and it's like he was 2 seconds from looking at the camera and winking. Like, it was great.
Well, and it wouldn't make sense given that he's partnered up with Daisy and all that.
Yeah.
And especially since he was so against the aliens thing, that could make a really good arc for him. So, that could be neat if they do that. Is it Stonewall?
Stonewall, right? Thank you!
Okay, there we go.
God, why was that not coming to me?
I don't know. That's what she said. No, but... but yeah, that could be neat if they do that. That one dude's power of, like, freezing people was creepy because it reminds me of that moment when you have like a nap but you wake up and you're not, your body's not awake yet, and you're like freaking out, like, oh, I hate that feeling. But like, that would be terrible because you can't stop it until it like wears off. And poor Hunter got hit twice.
It was like the blinking version of Canem of Venom. Like,
exactly. It's a good example. So yeah, that happened to Hunter twice because they really only wanted to, you know, question Jess about Sam Winchester and how they do. where is he? I don't know, probably a bunker. You know how he do. I'm trying to think what else happened this episode. We got a little bit of footage of Creepy Ward eating raw meat.
It looked like he was eating a meat tornado.
Like, it did. They call this the meat tornado. we've seen very little of it, I guess, but he's doing a pretty good job of, like, his delivery of differentiating from Ward, like, it's really dead and creepy, and like the effects of him too, like the ribs and the, like, the way his eye sockets are sunk in, which I feel like I'm noticing even more because of what I've been doing in drawing with the skull and stuff. But
yeah,
that's well done there. And he's trying. I honestly thought, kept thinking he was gonna eat Ubulon. Like, I thought that was gonna happen. He's like, boom. Whose cuisine reigns supreme? Mine, bitch. And then he eats them. Still want to see the episode where Winston gets dumped in Kitchen Stadium. But, like, you know, they just throw away lines like that for amazing episodes. Yep. Winston was evil for a week. Winston was at Kitchen Stadium. What if that happened at the same time? What if Winston was evil at Kitchen Stadium? But, so yeah, there was that. I love that Hydra's phone has waiting room music.
Oh, it's perfect.
I think it's interesting how the president is, like, almost basically hiring S.H.I.E.L.D. back, but, like, super on the down low. Like, they basically have a cover as the ATCU with Peter Petrelli. No, Nathan Petrelli, sorry.
Nathan Petrelli, yeah.
And his mustache. He couldn't be bothered to show up on Heroes. He's too busy having a giant mustache.
Honestly, if I knew what they were going to do with that, I wouldn't come back either.
Yeah, honestly.
He's too busy fucking Natalie from the Dixie Chicks.
Dear Lord. so yeah, that's happening. Coulson got a new Luke Skywalker hand.
Look at this one's more real.
So we don't have to come up with as many shots of why I don't have a hand. I hope it does some cool stuff, though.
Laser like, fingers?
To make it, like, worth it. Like, the story plot of him losing his hand more worth it. I'm trying to think what else is happening. I feel like I'm forgetting something.
The very first scene.
Oh, with, the...
like, in space.
Reyna wasn't even there in the flash forward. Like, what the hell? No, reporter Caroline, 0 out of 10. Yeah, that was very weird. Like, 3 months, that's not a lot of time, and it was such a, I don't know, like, out of context tease? Like,
yeah,
I don't know,
yeah. It was
interesting.
Probably like, after Civil War and after the end of the season, we'll be like, oh shit, that's whose blood is floating through space in a spaceship.
And they did show that necklace, which I think was hers, Yo-Yo's, wasn't it?
I think so, yeah.
Or at least it was similar. But, like, it's funny because there's certain, like, flash-forward teases like that that'll be interesting for, like, because it's so connected to what you're watching that you're intrigued. But this one, you're slightly less intrigued, but you're just intrigued by the bizarreness of it because it's so out of context. Yeah. And you're like, okay, what's happening? Truly, what is happening? So, yeah, we'll have to see that. But I really am glad this show is back.
Me too. There
was a couple people that were, like, saying how much better Agent Carter is than this show, and I'm not sure what they're smoking.
I like Carter, just but no.
No, like, even, like, I really liked season one, and there's things I really like about Carter, like Jarvis, but this show seriously got so good, and there's so much more to like about it. I mean, we even have our own version of Diggle, which is basically Mac. He's like Marvel Diggle. Hashtag Miggle. I don't know. Miggle. Did you mig it? But just thinking about, like, watching Daisy in this episode, thinking about how far she's come from the first season, and we're only three seasons in from being, you know, Sky in the van, and now
the van,
like, yeah, like, she's this kick-ass agent with powers, and even how well done her arc was done just from her powers, from getting them under control. It's just, I don't know, it's just cool.
Daisy's terrible in the comics, and, like, I never would have, like, known that it would have been her. Like, they built that up so well, and, like, they... Chloe Bennett for president.
And even Fitzsimmons, too. Like, fucking how amazing have their character journeys been. Especially Fitz's, like, Jesus.
Like, Simmons was a racist for a while.
Well, yeah, that's true. But, like, Fitz, like... he's been through so much, and, like, the way his actor handled when he had the speech, and, like, how he slowly got out of that speech. It's kind of like something I didn't notice until, like, the 57th time I rewatched Buffy, but how Tara slowly stopped stuttering when she got more comfortable with her friends.
Yes.
And, like, there was a time when she got nervous and she did it once. Like, I'm like, God damn it, that was so well done. Damn it, I miss Tara. She was the best. Tara was the best lesbian of all time.
Yes, she was.
She was so good. But, like, I love things like that, like little details that you don't notice till later. And, yeah. I guess they're both Whedon shows, so it makes sense. Even though, like, it's his son or whatever, or cousin or brother, I don't remember. Some relation. Second brother twice removed. That's not even a thing. I made that up. But, yeah, I don't think I have too much else to say, but I'm looking forward to seeing how the season shakes out, especially with the Civil War stuff. I like the idea is of this going, if the series goes on, of alternating of bigger impact and then, like, softer impact of, like, the movie.
Exactly. I love it.
Like, there wasn't a huge impact on the show, but honestly, it makes me smile whenever I watch Age of Ultron. I see the Helicarrier knowing, like, it came from Coulson.
Yeah, like, exactly.
It's a nice little touch, like, that a lot of people won't get if they don't watch it,
and a lot, like, of people hated it, and I loved it. I thought that
I think it's so cool.
It was, like, subtle and great.
Like, if it was not connected to the show and it was just, oh, I found this, then I would get it. But, like, that's a cool connection.
Exactly.
And it makes so much sense, and especially with how Coulson was so involved with the Avengers, that it's like he's, like, quietly supporting them. It's just cool. Yeah. Anything else before we move on to whatever the hell is next?
No.
Brian?
No.
Brian, you can't pass out. This is your show. You are Bob Barker. I think because there's nothing on Wednesday that Legends is next. Is that right?
Yeah.
Yes, it is.
Thank you, Dawson.
Good, like, solid, no questioning answer there.
Yeah.
Totally committed to that answer.
Debt ending, though.
Oh, of Legends?
Yeah.
You're talking about? Okay. When Michael killed Lincoln? This is like when they turned against each other in season four, when Link's like, I work for the company, and Michael's like, I work for myself. And Link's like, but I wear a suit now. But this episode, it's funny because I saw a lot of people say that this episode was, like, useless because it wasn't furthering the Savage thing. But honestly, I think the show would be boring if every episode
was... guys.
Well, yeah, I would, it's so boring if it would just be like, hey, let's attack Savage in this year again. But I love that we went to Star City in the future, and then now we're on a space pirate adventure. And this was such an important episode for Mick and Michael. Snart, there we go. Because it's really funny how all this is happening after I talked about how it showed a little bit more of his decent side with Ray. And, like, he's... I honestly sort of half expected a double cross where he brought them onto the ship so that he could take them out, but it wasn't. Like, he's just full-on done. He's done with them.
Like, I thought, John, like, I was waiting for it. I'm like, he's gonna turn around and punch him or something. Nope, he's just an asshole.
And, honestly, I definitely don't think he killed him. Like, it was kind of, to be honest, it was a good final scene, but the ending was awkward. Like, the way that the show ended and then went into, like, next time on Legends. Like, it faded to black awkwardly, and they're like, next time, Pleasantville. Like, wait. Truly. Again, truly. What is happening? I'll be interested to see how that resolves, whether it's like they imply he killed him, or they reveal he didn't right away. There was a couple people I saw that thought that they'll imply he killed him, but he let him live, and then Mick winds up teaming up with Savage, so they're on opposite sides. I don't know. I think it's kind of interesting how they keep losing team members. Like, I know that there has been, like, strongly implied and rumored that if the show should continue, they're going to have a revolving door of characters, but I didn't expect them to drop off people so fast. Like, I could care less about Hawkeye, because I really didn't care for him.
No.
But I like Mick. He was funny, and I think that Snart had more potential for more of a redemption than him, but I think that there was potential for Mick to be a little bit less evil in a way. If that makes any sense. Like, he would still basically be a criminal, but he would have, like, some decent qualities.
Yeah.
So I think that'll be interesting to see what happens. And I think that there was a smart choice. Like, I think it was partly on Wentworth Miller's part, because they asked him who he wanted, or he would suggest for Heatwave, and he suggested Dominic Purcell, but I think that was a smart choice for selling this bond between them. Because, you know, we've only really seen them sort of team up on the Flash for criminal activities, and then we've seen him here, but, like, him telling the story about protecting him in prison and stuff, and I think it helps to have watched Prison Break, but I think the chemistry between them from working together as brothers really helped sell that.
Oh, yeah.
In such a short amount of time, and basically having to do a lot of it through exposition. So I think that's a pretty cool dynamic going on, and I really like what they've done with Snart. Like, they implied on The Flash a couple times that he wasn't truly a bad guy, and I like how they're having him slowly, like, not even admitting to himself that he likes the idea of saving people and doing some good. I think it's very well done, and he's still committed to his cold bit.
He does it so well, too.
Yeah. Gotta love some Michael Scofield. Maybe he did die, and we're just gonna replace him with Sucre. That would honestly be pretty funny. Sucre is the new Heat Wave. What else happened in this episode? They're still furthering, which I'm not a huge fan of the romance between Rey and Kendra. Ugh. It feels too soon for her.
Vomit everything.
Yeah, it's like I said. The only thing I've enjoyed about the storyline was Stein being his wingman or Jax's wingman. That was funny.
Stein was fucking awesome in this episode.
Stein was the MVP of this episode.
Yep,
him fucking stealing that guy's hat and like. Basically saving them and, like, punching them when they were, like, falling through the vacuum of space. Like, Stein is seriously the best.
The male Betty White, and it's amazing.
really funny way of describing it. It's perfect. Killed Brian.
He's nothing like he is in the comics, and I'm so fucking happy because of that.
What I love about all these characters is these are pretty much all characters I loved on Flash and Arrow and wanted to see more of, and now we get to, which is just awesome. Like Stein, I really like Stein, and I do miss sometimes his dynamic with like Team Flash, but the fact that we get to see more of him, especially like the Stein half, like I like Jax, but Stein is like my favorite.
Yep.
So,
as much
like,
as I don't like the Ray and Kendra thing, Ray in this episode was really funny.
Yeah. Ray is great. Shaw does a good Ray. Even though, you know, he's just trying to get that Intersect 4.0. He's trying to get that Intersect 4.0 right now, but...
Kendra. Kendra is the Intersect.
No, but, yeah, Ray, too, is another a good character for that. And basically all the characters like that. I honestly think Kendra's probably my least favorite in terms of like who I'm interested in seeing more of.
I feel like
she spent most of her time on the ship complaining about she spends most of her time on the ship talking about being a barista.
I'm a barista.
But even before, I love that you actually included that in your recap with Coda based on what I said in that video.
I know I had to
Like, even without the barista joke, like, in terms of her character, she didn't have anything that funny about her. Like, I think Hawk Girl and Hawk Man... Is it Hawk Man or Hawk Guy? I almost honestly forgot.
Hawk Man.
Okay. But, like, I think their origins is really cool. But, like, in terms of, like, what we've seen of the characters, in terms of, like, Ray or Stein... being entertaining, or like Sarah, and like their whether it's their personalities or their storylines, I think I'm the least interested. I'm like, Sarah's really funny because I'm interested in her as a character, but she like unexpectedly can be pretty funny.
Yeah.
Like she's really sarcastic. And then of course, you know, you got like Rory original, Rory 1.0, like, you know, blimey. Amy.
Yeah. You
know, doing his Rory stuff.
Gamora.
This was the episode with the flashbacks, right?
Yeah, I was trying to remember that. I really liked that. I think it fleshed some things out really nicely for him. So, like, I don't see how people can say this was a useless episode, because I would take this with dealing with the cold and heatwave relationship and some more development for Rip. Like any day, because and not to mention the concept was cool too, and it led to some cool things. And I love how this show is basically all over the place, but in a good way.
Yep.
Like it's just it's fun, and it doesn't feel like messy or like it's a one off each week and a random thing. Like it's all over the place, but it still feels connected, and it's just really cool. Like, I definitely hope this show continues. Like, if we do a revolving door, I hope we don't, like, lose too many of the same people at once, because I like some of the, like, relationships that are building. Like, I like kind of how Sarah has this sort of friendship going almost with Snart and Rip, who I'm having a really hard time not calling Rory, to be honest. And I think there's some cool dynamics going on, but I think there's cool potential for others to join, but I don't want them to lose that. Like, it'd be cool to see, like... Vixen or
I want Vixen on here bad.
Yeah, really bad.
Constantine would be neat. There was talk of like Connor Hawk on there, which could be interesting if they explored alternate timeline things. That would be pretty cool too. Mm-hmm. Old Ollie, just, you know, his shitty makeup. You know how he do. But there's just so much potential for this show. I really like it.
Me too. It's just so much fun.
Yeah.
And I'd rather take all the, like, the changing of, like, setting every week over Arrow having inconsistent storytelling.
Yeah, and like I mentioned, the character payoff in that show, compared to this show and Flash and even Supergirl, like, the character moment payoff is so off in Arrow the last two seasons. And it's funny because it's from the same people doing these shows.
Exactly.
And even like Supergirl, which just is starting, like the character payoff of that moment when she found out that Little Gray killed Astra was so well done. And like that's the type of
thing. And then she reaches over and holds Hank's hand.
Exactly. Like... Supergirl Diggle. No, but like just moments like that they do emotional payoff well, and the fact that Arrow hasn't done that really since season two is frustrating.
Yep.
It's like, and that's where they started. That was their flagship.
Exactly.
Fix yourself. Need to get Blarton here to just take out Dark and save them all. Safety never takes a holiday. Why do you think I've been walking around here with eyes of an eagle? Such an underrated movie.
I love that movie.
It makes me smile. Okay. So, Legends, and then I think the only other thing before the Teen Wolf extravaganza, Brian, is Walking Dead, right?
Yes. We have two episodes because we forgot last week. I wasn't about to hit the record button again, so...
Yeah. Okay. So last week was Jesus bringing them to this other base, right? And telling them about the saviors.
Hilltop or whatever the fuck it's called.
Yeah. Yeah. It doesn't even matter. They're probably dead soon. Here, join our community to be cannon fodder. You can join the other Alexandrians and the people from the governor's town. Like, I mentioned to you when we talked about it a bit after we remembered we forgot to talk about it, but I loved the scene where they started attacking them and Rick, like, stabbed that guy in the neck and, like, it bled out all over him, and then everyone's looking at him in shock and he's just like, what?
What?
And, like, that sort of continued this week and almost, like, the sequel to that scene when he picked up that head and, like, punched its nose out. And, like, so casually, and that guy's like, the saviors are terrible, but you're kind of scary. Like, it just goes to show you how much they've changed.
Mm-hmm.
I think that, like, I was worried a little bit because I think the season's been strong in a lot of aspects, but I was worried about how repetitive it can get between, you know, find a settlement, here's another bad group. But I think it's really interesting to turn it on its head with them finding out about them ahead of time and taking the initiative to go after them.
Yeah.
Instead of, oh, fuck, the wolves found us, the governor found us, Terminus is shit. That they're like, okay, there's this group, let's get ahead of it and attack, take them out. I think that's interesting. Also, how interesting and slightly disturbing it is that they went in to kill the saviors in their sleep, and they took them out like they would walkers, but they're people.
Yeah.
And, like, even though they're terrible people, there's this, like, unnerving feel about it, especially when Glenn did it. Because like he said, he's been so low. Like, he's on tears. Like, the black guy couldn't even handle it. Like, Glenn's like, let me get in there. But, like, because Glenn has been so lucky in that he hasn't had to take out any
humans. I never realized he really hasn't killed any people.
I didn't realize that until it was a few weeks ago, but a few episodes ago before the hiatus when they're talking about it on Talking Dead, back when, I think around when we thought Glenn was dead. But, like, he's done some pretty badass zombie kills, like when he took that one out when he was strapped to a chair and he, like, used its own bone, and, like, he's had really badass moments, but he's been lucky enough to not have to directly take out any of the bad people they've been up against. So, like, that was a really strong and, like, sad scene for him. But, like, it's such a... Like, it's a terrible thing that's happening, but it's such a good scene of, like, that whole takeout, because it was a really well-shot scene of, like, them breaking in and very calculated. But, like, it's, like I said, they're terrible people. Like, basically, I don't know a lot, but obviously you just know they're going to be terrible from what we've seen of them, what little I've heard from the comics, and just that one guy having pictures of bashed heads or whatever. But still, like, them just taking out people like they would walkers. Like, how far they've come and how far they've fallen with that. And, like, it's especially interesting when you think about back to, like, season two, when Rick and Shane were having that debate over what to do with that one guy. You remember that kid?
Yeah.
Like, they debated about that for days. Like, they literally took him out to the city and brought him back. Like, Rick could not go through with taking him out on the potential that he might have a group he would warn them about. And now they're, like, taking out people in their sleep. Like, it's crazy to think about that. Like, there's often a lot of talk about how much Rick has become like Shane, which I think Rick's probably moved past Shane's level of brutality. But at the same time, I still feel like there's a level-headedness he has that Shane didn't.
Yeah.
if that makes any sense.
Well, Shane was just fucking nuts, so...
Yeah. Like, I think that Rick proved that he could go far beyond and has what it takes to make the hard decisions that Shane was thinking he couldn't make. And he has, in many aspects, gone a little bit crazy, but he still has this underlying sense, I think, that Shane wouldn't have and didn't have. Mm-hmm. But I think it would be interesting for Shane to see what Rick's become, for sure. After all...
Wolverine, Shane, exactly.
Well, but especially after all the whining Shane did about how Rick didn't have what it takes. But yeah, that was very interesting. And I was honestly surprised that in the most recent episode they actually got to there. Like, I thought they were going to spend the whole episode in Alexandria, like, packing. Because they've done that shit before.
Yeah.
Where they'll spend, like, a whole episode on prep and stuff. But I'm surprised it was just, like, halfway through and then they made it to the Savior's base midway
through.
They
pretty much, like, did everything there, too.
Yeah,
other
like...
than, like, the ending where they're like, oh, we've got Carol and Maggie.
Maggie, yeah. Because we really don't know. Obviously, we know we haven't met Negan yet. Because he's played by John Winchester. But we don't really know how many they have. We obviously know they have... Like, it's really funny, like, all the people they took out were, like, a bunch of evil-looking bikers. But, like, the people that kidnapped Maggie and Carol were, like, a girl and, like, an old lady. And, like, what is this? D-Squad? Like, what is happening? So, yeah. It's gonna be interesting to see how the next few episodes goes. I'm very nervous... because they just had that big victory at the Alexandria battle. I mean, it's been months, and there's been a little bit of a peace vibe.
Someone gonna die.
Yeah, it's gotta happen, because there's gonna be something, either one or multiples, whether it's, like, one main, maybe a couple mains, and definitely, or not definitely, but maybe some, like, cannon fodder. There's gonna be some moment I can feel it that's gonna show, like, what a threat Negan is.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, this is that time, like, that sinking stomach feeling where you're, like, sitting there praying, like, people don't die by the end, so... it's a nervous territory, but I think it's been pretty good, especially the last couple episodes.
Yeah. I forgot how many are in the season, 16?
Yeah, usually 16.
Because I was gonna say, I know Fear the Walking Dead comes back in April.
Yeah. Not really that excited about that, to be honest. I'm still gonna watch it, but...
Yeah, I'm gonna watch it, and it was very okay. It was
yeah, exactly. That's a really good way of describing it. Like I said, I think this season might be more interesting, but I think there was some wasted potential to explore some different territory.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I almost feel like we're just heading towards the same territory. So I don't know. We'll have to see. But yeah, it's been pretty good. And I'm looking forward to / not looking forward to, because I'm nervous. I don't want anyone to die. There were some people speculating that Carol might die because they've been featuring her character a little bit in these past couple episodes.
You can't kill Carol.
I know. Well, but she's had some really standout moments this year. Like, they focused on her a bit today, or today, like in these few episodes, and like, she's had some really strong moments, like when she took out all those wolves, so it's like, I'm not sure. So, because sometimes when they, you know, feature a character in a certain way, like, that was one thing that I thought before, like, it was sort of suspicious of why Glenn didn't die, like when Glenn called Rick a dumbass, which was like a callback to their first interaction. I'm like, oh fuck, this is like character dying moment stuff. Don't you do this to me, this is Glenn. Glenn's our baby. And yeah.
Glenn's our baby.
He is. Glenn is like the best. You can't kill Glenn. Like, everyone's like, you can't kill Daryl. I don't want them to kill Daryl, but honestly, I'd rather see Daryl before Glenn. Like, Glenn's the baby. Glenn's come so far. He went from pizza guy to, like, you know, riot gear badass.
Glenn.
All right. Anything else to say before?
The only thing additional that I want to say is... Kingler is a fucking badass.
The way he took out those walkers with his pincers, man.
He completely decimated all 4 or 5 of my rival's Pokemon, and now he's decimating Giovanni. Like, one hit knockouts all around. Kingler MVP.
Kooky kooky indeed.
Kingler grew to level 43 because he's a fucking badass. Giovanni sent out Nido Queen. Oh, what are you going to do? Crab hammer, son of a bitch.
What are you going to do? Chop your head off with my pincers.
One hit knockout.
Hashtag it's Kingler hype.
Super effective.
That'd be a really funny voice to play every time that happened. Oh, man. That's funny.
Blasted all you ruined our plans for Sylph. I went back and did Sylph Co. because I was in Cinnabar Island and realized I never beat Sabrina. So I beat Blaine, and I was like, wait, why do I have 6 badges? Oh.
This isn't how the anime went. Why doesn't Blaine have a wig? What's happening?
Oh, oh my god. Bitch, give me my Master Ball.
You should have already gotten it.
How the fuck do I get over to him? Oh, other side of the table. Bitch, give him a Master Ball.
Okay, speaking of Master Balls, is it time to talk about the Beast of Javadan?
Wee wee.
The ultimate plot of Teen Wolf Season 5B, turning into a smelly Frenchman. No, that's not even a joke. That's what happened.
I know.
Okay. Oh, where to start? Okay, so if everyone doesn't know, this is our Teen Wolf wrap-off. So, we're doing our season wrap of Teen Wolf.
Teen Wolf wrap-off? I didn't know
what happened. Dear Lord.
Yo, yo, yo. I walked with the Skinwalkers.
The Beast of Javadan. The only Javadan. I don't know. I don't know rap.
You guys are so white.
I know.
You're so white. I literally Dr. Dre, more like the Dread Doctors. Yeah, boom. okay, so I don't know where to start.
I'm just going to be sitting here, going to go fight Sabrina now.
Just going to be petting Kingler.
Kingler going to go wreck shit.
So we talked about, I think the last real good Teen Wolf talk on here was we talked about how good 5A was. Which it really was. I think 5A was some of the best stuff they ever did.
Exactly. It rivals some of what I love about 3B.
That was Styles Evil, right? That was Styles.
Debut and Malia's debut.
That was great stuff. Like you said, between the debuting of those characters and Dylan O'Brien like getting to do some of the more dramatic stuff...
And the combination of the Japanese and Native American technology. Like.
And I love how it connected from 3A. I like that it was like they were clearly separate arcs, but they all flow into each other.
They're going back to that.
They did that a bit here, too, like with the Nemeton and stuff.
Yeah.
It was neat. But, like, it's frustrating because 5A was so good with the pacing and the tone was, like, the creepiest and the darkest it's ever been.
So fucking good.
Which I love when Teen Wolf does, like, a balance of humor, but, like, it was nice to have this creepy, disturbing vibe. And, like, the Dread Doctors were so creepy and...
So wasted in 5B.
Really were. And, like, and I love, like, it, as sad as it was to see, I love how well done, like... The breakdown of Scott's pack was like
I know
it was so gradual where it's like you didn't notice it till like the last few episodes that like you looked around and realized everyone was so separated.
Yep.
So like that was so well done, and it just I don't think 5B was terrible. It was just so mixed.
Yeah, you know the show's never been terrible. No, it's always great, but it wasn't amazing this.
Like, it could have been so good. Like, I feel like they should have separated the Dread Doctors and the Beast somehow.
Yeah.
Like, I was kind of disappointed. Like, it's exactly, like, there were some neat things about the Beast. Like,
yeah.
Like, I like the origins of the Argents, how it was with that. I thought that was kind of cool. That episode wasn't the most exciting. I thought it was really coolly shot, though. Like,
it was really cinematic.
Yeah, and it was cool to get Allison or to Crystal Reed back for that. So I think that was kind of neat to do, like, tying that back to the Argents, and then, like, with the whole theme of Allison at the very beginning when they wrote her initials in the library, and then, like, her being, like, the thing that, that tripped up the Beast because he was scanning Scott's memories.
Yep.
I think that that was cool. Like,
that was a great payoff moment.
Yeah, because it bookended it really nicely. That tied the entire season 5A, 5B together, which was really cool. So that was, I thought, well done. So I think there was some cool thought behind the Beast with that and the origins. But, like, it just wasn't – like, the Dread Doctors were so mysterious and creepy and terrifying and unnerving. And
they were never fully.
No, and, like, it was kind of – in a way neat that one of them was that dude that helped out the Beast in the, a long time ago, but
yeah,
at the same time, like, it was neat, like, oh, that's kind of cool, but there could have been so much of a creepier and disturbing backstory to the Dread Doctors that it was kind of disappointing. Like, I almost would have rather them made the Dread Doctors almost entirely separate, and if they were going to do the Beast, like, maybe have the Beast be an accident. Like, they made the Beast on accident when trying to do the Chimeras, and had them existing separately. And it didn't help that the Beast looked like a fucking Looney Tune. I'm sorry.
I fucking hated that thing. It was so gross and disgusting. And ugh. And not a fun gross and disgusting. Like, ew, that's ugly. It's ew, that's ugly. Like,
yeah, it didn't look scary. And, like, it made out of smoke. And, like, it was so comedic.
And it had, like, little stubby hobble legs, like Sledge.
Yeah. It could have been so much cooler. Like, even Peter's CGI alpha thing was a little bit creepier.
Yeah, because they kept it away in the distance.
Yeah, like, they should have either done something like that, or just found, like, someone that's got a bigger build and made a creepy makeup.
Yeah.
Especially since, like, that painting that showed the Beast facing off against the Hellhound.
It was so cool looking in the fucking painting.
Yeah. And then, like, they tried to, which, I mean, admittedly, it was kind of neat that they did that. They sort of recreated that when Parrish faced off against him. But, like, it really highlighted how different they both look. Like, one's a shirtless Ben 10, one's Tasmanian Devil. Like, it doesn't look anything like the painting. But they kind of highlighted that, like, if they could have had Parrish be – I'm not really that mad about Parrish. But, like, make the Beast, like, just a find a really, like, big dude and, like, deck him out in, like, creepy wolf makeup.
Yeah.
One
of the guys who was the fucking berserkers.
Exactly. Like, it could have been so much creepier and terrifying. And yeah, it just, that part wasn't well done. And then you have that guy, I've seen him in multiple things. The last being Switched at Birth before I stopped watching that. And he was like the little French dad. So
I was about to bring up Switched at Birth and I didn't know you had seen it.
Yeah, I fell out of it a little while back.
Half a season ago.
It was not long after he died in that show. The French guy.
Oh, I didn't get that far.
Oh, shit, sorry. He died.
No, that's okay.
But, like, he died, and a couple episodes after that, I fell out of it. Honestly, I might plan on catching up with it. It wasn't like I hated it. It's just kind
of...
It was a scheduling thing. Yeah, it was a scheduling thing, because it kind of randomly comes back. It's like on and off, so I had a hard time following it.
Fosters is the same way, but, like, my whole family's so dedicated and, like, invested into the Fosters now.
I haven't watched that one, but
it's really good.
But yeah, like, I might go back and catch up on it later, because I really did like Switched at Birth, but this isn't about Switched at Birth. But, like, I've seen him as that. He was also in Brothers and Sisters. He's been in a couple other things, and he's always just kind of this little funny Frenchman.
Yeah.
And, like, so, like, thinking about how absurd it is, if you write it down on paper, the plot, basically, of 5B was this black kid turning into a smelly Frenchman. That was the scariest thing that happened.
Yep.
And... it's just there was like I said, cool ideas. It just wasn't well executed. I think it would have made for a decent plot. I think that it could have been separate from the Dread Doctors. The Dread Doctors could have been way cooler.
Yeah,
it's just wasted.
It
probably
been a B plot, you know.
Yeah, it's just it, like solve, like, had them running concurrently and, like, solve, like, sometimes seasons will do that and then solve the Dread Doctors, like, two before the finale, and then you can focus on the Beasts, but also make the Beasts better.
Exactly.
Because the Dread Doctors were well designed, everything about their atmosphere, even, like, little details, like the sounds they made when they moved, like, just, it was so cool. But, yeah. I mean, admittedly, even if the explanation wasn't as rewarding, the way he looked was very rewarding, I thought, when he took it off. That's exactly what I was expecting. I'm like, okay, that's pretty creepy and disgusting. That's exactly what I was hoping it would look like. Oh, sorry, go ahead.
Oh, I said I totally agree. You know, the makeup on this show is usually so great, and, like, that was a perfect example of, like, them nailing what I was expecting.
Yeah, that's exactly, like, you know, exactly what I was picturing, but, like, in the neighborhood of, like, that's what I wanted to see.
Gross, pale, disgusting thing with hair popping out, like.
My drawing. Alina. even if the explanation wasn't that great, I'm at least glad in this episode they addressed it, and, like, all we got wasn't the previous episode when they just said there was just some guy known as the surgeon who did it and made a mask. That would be like Dino Charge, basically. It's really random. I'm just thinking, Dino Charge explanations are basically politician answers where they don't answer the question. That's basically what it is. It's like, oh, Aqua, why were you missing? Well, Senator Sanders signed that bill as well. Like, no, you're just deflecting. So the Dread Doctors were just so wasted, but at least they had cool, creepy makeup.
Yeah, exactly.
I didn't think about it until you mentioned on Twitter, but you're right, too, about, I don't think the flash forwards with Lydia had as much cool payoff as I thought they were.
Yeah, I thought they were going to be so awesome, and they were just, oh, Lydia's filming something else, so she's going to be in a bed the entire season. Just different beds everywhere. Hospital bed, her bed. Her mom running away from her bed, you know.
Klaus needs to just take care of her. Just honestly, come on, just, you know. because the beginning parts were really cool, and, like, her training basically amounted to training with Ben 10 for 5 minutes.
Yeah.
And then Meredith speaking to her a couple times. But regardless, it is cool to see Lydia get to be in more of a fighting active role.
Yeah.
And even if it wasn't handled the best, I still think her character is one of the best developed since the beginning.
Oh, definitely.
Considering she was just, like, this selfish, like, typical popular girl who wasn't involved at all, and now she's, like, one of the most involved and most compassionate people. I still love Lydia, though.
Me too. She really has developed well.
I thought that the escape episodes were pretty cool, though, even though it wasn't as... I'm not really that invested in, like, one of those, like, shipping teams of Malia or Lydia or whatever, but I like that Stiles was heavily involved in it, because regardless of any of it, I do like the bond between Stiles and Lydia.
Oh, me too.
So I like that he was heavily involved in it, and Stiles is just the best anyway.
I know.
I liked the payoff.
Like, they had one conversation, him and his dad, in the beginning of the season of, like, you know, Stiles saying, oh, I think I want to be a police officer. And by the end of that episode, Sheriff Stilinski was like, you know, maybe you should be a cop. And then at the end of the season, he, like, is talking to Stiles and he goes, well, get ready for your future in law enforcement. And it's such a nice payoff.
Yeah, that was kind of... even though, like, a lot of it was messy in between, there were some really nice bookends at the end of the season.
Yeah, definitely.
Even with, like, Stiles bringing up, like, him worrying about where they all ended up, but, like, how they all find each other. And there was some really nice moments. Like, it makes you wonder, like, can you imagine how awesome it would have been if 5B would have been as good as 5A? This would have been, like, masterful stuff.
He had the potential to, and it was just kind of a letdown.
And, like, even some of the moments, like, I was glad the pack got together, back together, but I feel like some of it didn't feel as earned as it should have.
Yeah.
But at least, like, it got patched up. Like, I couldn't believe that Scott wouldn't have believed Stiles, like, believing Theo over Stiles.
Oh, God, I hate it.
And I thought the Desert Wolf stuff, like, it was almost one too many things going on.
Yeah, I didn't like the Desert Wolf stuff at all.
I liked Malia and
Brayden.
Yes, Brayden working together. That was fun. I don't know why, but the pistachio scene cracks me up.
That was, fantastic.
One of the captions was, craving baby birds, to be honest. That's, second place next to only have two potatoes for me. damn it. There was some cool stuff like that going on, but, yeah, the Desert Wolf stuff was just one too many things going on. With the Dread Doctors and the Beasts and and Theo. And, there was almost like a three-pronged villain thing going on.
Yeah.
I'm glad it's resolved. I hope they don't do too much more. I think there could be a little bit more to explore later, if they bring Peter back for a little bit, just to have all three of them. I don't
know if Peter's ever coming back, but...
Where'd he go? Did he die?
And Arden had it out.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay.
He said some horribly offensive things to her on Twitter, and the whole fandom, wanted him dead.
Oh, jeez. Okay. And, well, maybe not then.
Yeah. And then the show, backed it up, and, we're like, Team Arden.
Well, because Arden's, the sweetest person ever.
I know.
You follow her on Twitter, you know she's basically Kira.
Exactly. Speaking of Kira, goddamn her arc this season.
She basically just keeps leaving and coming back right to the very end.
I know, but, every time she comes back, it was, more epic than the last.
Oh, that was so awesome. When Liddy was trapped in the sewer, I honestly thought Parrish was going to save her, generically. Oh, shirtless hunk to the rescue. And Kira's like, oh, hell nah. Belt sword to the rescue, bitch.
And then she stabs it into the fucking ground after she sucks the lightning up. And then the girl from the ring comes out from the floor and sucks Theo down into the bottoms of hell.
That was creepy.
I can't explain that to someone who doesn't watch Teen Wolf. It was
that's Teen Wolf for you.
Amazing.
I definitely hope that she's a little bit more consistent next season with Vass. Because I think that there's some cool potential with her story, but the on and off again leaving was kind of annoying. There was just almost one too many things going on. I almost forgot about, amongst the Beast and Theo's pack and the Dread Doctors. And then you got Malia with the Desert Wolf. And then you have the out-of-control Fox going on. It's like, Jesus, I forgot how many things are truly going on.
Yeah.
Again, truly, what is happening? So I hope that's a little bit better resolved next season after she hangs out with the First Slayers a little bit. You know, death is her gift and all that.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what I love about Kira's character and Arden as a person is she's super awkward and reminds me of me, and she's just the sweetest person ever.
She's so relatable, you know.
Yeah. I hope that's a little bit better.
They're just like us.
I hope that's better. There's just so many things that could be better with that.
Yeah.
I still think there could have been a little bit better payoff, but at least it was pretty okay done. Liam and Scott sort of mending things up a little bit.
Yeah. Liam's never been my favorite, but, this season I think was his best so far.
I think he was really funny, at the very beginning when he was played very comedically.
Oh, I know. I think he worked so well that way.
Yeah. I think that I honestly don't like his girlfriend at all. She looks like a deformed Muppet.
I was hoping she would die so bad.
All of her facial features are in the center of her head. I don't know. She's got a really weird face. I just don't like her. This is a totally random thing, but I don't know why the Vampire Diaries logic seeped into my brain so much, but every time someone gets injured on Team Wolf from Supernatural, I keep waiting for someone to feed them blood.
Yeah!
It's really annoying. She got stabbed, and I'm like, alright, somebody just fucking feed her some blood.
Well, I watched True Blood before the Vampire Diaries, or concurrently with it, and it was the same thing. They used the blood, and so I have two times that going on in my head.
I thought that it was just because I was marathoning it, but, the logic has stuck through, and, it won't leave, so I'm like, alright, where's Damon? Bite in your wrist. I'll keep waiting for that, but honestly, I was hoping she would die, and now she's some sort of weird non-Chimera werewolf. I don't know. But I don't really like her.
I don't like her. Liam's not my favorite.
Yeah, Liam's never been my favorite. Like I said, I liked how he was comedically played. I like the bit about like Scott basically being his dad.
Yeah, that's my favorite.
I think part of the understanding of him forgiving him, which I think was sort of subtly done, but well done, was I think that he understood why he was so passionate about saving her, because I think he related it to him and Allison. Yeah, yeah. Exactly. So I think that was kind of... there was some really neat, like, direct and very small Allison beats throughout the whole season, which I think was cool.
Even from the dead.
Yeah, exactly.
Crystal Reed.
Like, I don't know if I want you to come back or not, because your death was so well done, but I want you back.
Yeah, exactly. I was waiting for her to be in the library at the end. Like, in the final sequence.
Part of me thought that the whole memory thing was some sort of window to her coming back somehow, but...
That would have been so damn cool.
Like, I don't know how I feel about that, because regardless if she ever comes back, they handled her death very well.
Yeah.
And her remembrance, so I don't know. I think that there could be some really cool potential. Honestly, there was a minute before they hinted at Mason, I thought she was going to be the Beast. I don't know why. That would have been really cool.
That would be so amazing.
There was somebody that thought it was going to be Jackson because he was a Kanema at some point for some reason, which also would have been kind of, like, shocking. All of a sudden, just, you know, Roy's there, like, flipping tables, you know. You know how he'd be.
Flipping Looney Tunes, man.
Like, he needs to come back for an episode, though. It's awkward that he hasn't checked in. Because he was so important for so long. I'm trying to think if there's anything else I wanted to cover real quick.
I read an interview with Jeff Davis, and he said he regrets a lot of what he did with the Dread Doctors in this half. And like the writing and the... And he said they're going to go back to like the 3A, 3B style that they did, which is amazing. And it's going to be 10 episode half seasons again.
Okay, so like a 20 episode full.
Yeah.
So that's good.
And then maybe they said were considering specials, like in between, like a Halloween special.
Oh, that would be cool. Like Doctor Who style of those? That's cool.
Yeah, like Doctor Who.
That would be awesome, actually.
But they said they don't know if it's going to happen because Scream might do that too.
Well, they could both do it. Why not?
Yeah, exactly.
Do it at the same time. Like, yeah. 2-hour special, Teen Wolf and Scream. What the hell's wrong with you people? Boom, problem solved.
They don't even have a sin on fucking Teen Wolf. Like,
exactly. Don't even have the new Green Ranger being like, Abercrombie.
That would be so fucking cool.
It would be funny. It's especially funny after like all the jokes people made about them looking like catalog pictures. that would be cool. Like, I don't think it was just awful. Like, Teen Wolf's really funny because it can be really messy, but it's still like one of my favorite things because... Yeah. It's got such a cool mythology, and I love the characters so much.
I lose myself in it. Like, it's like a breath of fresh air, like Legends.
Yeah.
Except on a different level. Like, it just hits like that Buffy-sized hole in my heart.
Yeah.
It coats the hole, but it doesn't, like, you know, cover the hole.
Yeah, that's it's like this is getting... But, like, it's really funny because, like, I think Teen Wolf really does this good job of bringing an element of Buffy that I like. Like, nothing ever really is Buffy, but it brings this
it's
this element of it. And kind of like Sleepy Hollow, which, regardless of how its content goes, I think dialogue-wise is the closest to Buffy in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
With its wit, or it can be at least, which I think is cool. But yeah, I don't think there's too much else I wanted to cover. But overall, like, 5B was okay, but 5A was pretty fantastic. I'm looking forward to seeing what's next. It looks like they're still not... I thought they were going to be in college when we start 6.
Yeah.
Maybe 6B? Like, I'm kind of looking forward to see how they do that. It could just be a Whitmore situation, you know, just have a dorm set and just use it. That's all.
Exactly. I'd like to see maybe in the very first episode, like, maybe they graduate.
Yeah, it would be nice to move on a little bit, like, just so that you could the show
still
going.
Have Liam and shit at the high school.
Exactly.
You know, there will always be a Teen Wolf on the show.
I thought it would be funny if, like, because it was cool to see Coach back, But I thought it would have been cool if, like, they saved him for when they go to college. Like, he's all of a sudden... So it wouldn't be, like, an awkward Mr. Feeny-level transition, but, like,
yeah,
it would just be funny for him to be, like, all of a sudden there, because I really like Coach.
I love Coach.
So he nice brings the humor impact into it. And, like, if that's one last thing I'll say, is that as messy as 5B was, and as much as I liked the darker tone of 5A... I like that 5B brought back a little bit more of the humor balance.
Exactly.
And so I think that that'll hopefully continue, because there wasn't nearly as much in 5A, which I think it would have been out of place. And I think it's perfectly fine to have a half season where it's like that, so long as you don't lose it forever. Like we talked about on Twitter briefly, but Styles was so funny in like the last few episodes, like with the gun and the sleeping. And Styles will be fine. He smacks his head in the background. Like,
can we get the glass out of my shoulder now?
Like, I love that Styles can go from that to moments like when he was beating up on Theo, when he was trying to bring out Void Styles. Yes. Like, such a good character. Oh, that was one other thing I really wanted to quickly bring up is, like, I think that the idea of Theo's evil pack was squandered.
Yeah.
It kind of reminded me of, in a small way, of when Derek brought his pack together, season two, and, like, that kind of got squandered. Like, the idea of, like, an anti-Scott's pack running around was pretty cool, but they basically just made gremlin faces around town and then all got absorbed, except for Mason's invisible boyfriend.
Yeah, who should have been absorbed.
Yeah,
I didn't like him. He's like,
I don't like him at all. Like, no, we need to get Mason a new boyfriend in season two. Exactly.
Or just leave him.
Or season seven. But six, sorry. Numbers.
Bring Danny back.
Yeah, exactly. That would be perfect. Why not? I didn't like him, but the idea I think of that was squandered. Like, I Theo was a really good character you loved to hate.
Yeah, exactly. I think he was performed well. Especially coming off Pretty Little Liars, where he was just like, I'm the cute little brother, and...
and he's just like this evil douche. Yeah. Like, it was like, I wanted him dead, but he did it so well. Like, I don't know if I'd want him to come back as a regular or anything.
Yeah.
I think his story's pretty done, but I think the concept there, like, the way they advertised it in the trailers of, like, oh, Scott's packing. And, you know, his pack, or at least in the setup, it could have been cool. It was another kind of squandered idea. It was almost like this were ideas that could have been used for multiple seasons that just happened all at once.
Yeah.
So that's kind of disappointing. But he still did a good job as, like, a villain that he really tore the pack up, for sure.
One more thing before we end Teen Wolf and Brian can breathe and live again. The little teaser that they showed after... shows, like, a guy in a cowboy outfit, you know, like, strolling around on a horse. And I literally almost have to back because I... the two things I don't do are cowboys and zombies. And, like... Oh,
revealed, it's a cowboy zombie.
Like, I'm done.
I don't know. We'll have to see what that is. And I don't know why that reminded me that we never mentioned that Deucalion and Gerard came back this season.
Oh, yeah!
It almost, like, it's another thing that was happening. Which I thought Gerard's was more well done in terms of what he was used for, but I was really happy with Deucalion actually being on Scott's side. It was a really nice twist that wasn't, like, eye-rolling, like, oh, no, he's going to go after Scott again. So it almost felt like this was like, final season type of stuff where you bring back a bunch of people. But what's funny about Deucalion is, other than me liking his reveal at the end, he basically spent the whole season sitting on the floor.
With a big needle in his arm.
Exactly.
Next to a tub that just went boop, boop every couple seconds.
Exactly. So that was kind of random. But I liked that, yeah, that he wasn't just, like, another thing for Scott to deal with. And I like having Papa Arjun back. I hope he sticks around every now and then. Got to have some Arjun on there.
Yeah.
Seriously, the last thing. I did like about the flashback of the origin of her having to kill her brother sort of really underlined why the Arjuns were so fucking strict about that shit.
Exactly.
Brother family. That was well done. Like, when...
It tied it up. really nicely.
Like when Allison's lesbian bitch mother got turned. To be honest, she was the worst anyway, so it was fine.
Yeah.
But it was a good origin. All right, now for sure done. All right. Brian, are you breathing? Are you alive?
No. Cookie, cookie!
No, cookie, no, cookie!
And now it's time for...
Directory, motherfucker!
God, not prepared at all! But sort of. Okay.
What the fuck are you
there was somebody.
About? We're totally prepared.
We're totally prepared, and we've been preparing this for months. And there's totally not somebody that I was supposed to read their question, but I lost it, and we're not getting to read it, so I'm an asshole. But we got questions! Okay. So first up, from David Martin, who wants a shout out for his 35th birthday, but nope, you're getting an early 36th birthday shout out. Joke brought to you by Shukun Shinobi. Trademark.
Okay. Happy early birthday, motherfucker!
So save that for next year. Brian's lost it. Okay, but his actual question is, which season of Power Rangers works better as a cartoon?
Dino Charge and Supercharge, because it's like an episode of Family Guy.
That one would work because then you could not have to worry about budget for bringing anybody back. Any season where that's a problem. I don't know why I was all of a sudden thinking of like Mystic Force, not because I don't like Mystic Force, because I love Mystic Force,
I
but because
of
it would,
that was like the first thing that popped into my head. Is you could do so much magic with cartoons.
Yeah, like you could show off a lot more of those type of effects. George?
That would have been my vote.
Yeah. Sorry.
Yeah, that's fine. Mystic Force would have been my pick, too, and that's what Brian was going to say.
I like how we all just think of the same thing.
Yeah.
We just all have the same brain. At least we have one, like Tyler and his dad. Anyway, we're trying to find a brain to share. Okay, so Adam Trahey, I think, says, if you sent to Earth 2 and then run into your doppelganger, how would you feel and what would you ask him? Wear shirt. Where are you? Are you caveman? You barista? I would hope that they didn't exist, like the Earth 2 is fortunate enough not to have a me. If it was a me that had kids, I would ask, why this? I would hope Earth 2 me would be smart enough not to have kids. If they did have kids, I would hope they wouldn't be making them watch the shows they watched when they were little. I don't know. It'd be really weird to run into my doppelganger. I would seriously hope it would be like a Rose situation where I didn't exist. That would be the best, to be honest.
That's you're a dog. Time,
exactly. Hashtag dream life.
I'll go.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't know I was supposed to go next. I'm sorry, Brian.
I would probably just kill myself.
Jesus.
And take their place. Because Earth 2 seems like a fun place to be.
I just, like, no, I imagine we would all be evil. Because they're all evil there.
One of us is
a cabaret singer.
What powers do I have? Can you vibe? Can you run fast?
Knife them.
Can you teleport? Knife them.
What if it's cheese kinesis? You just manipulate cheese with your mind.
Oh my god! It'd be like being a waterbender except with liquid cheese.
Exactly.
Best powers ever.
See? Boom.
I'm the cheese bender.
It's like far more disturbing and evil than bloodbending.
Guess what? This is nacho cheese.
Oh my gosh.
I'm so proud of my fake self right now.
Okay, so if I met myself, I don't know, I'd have sex with myself.
Dear Lord!
I mean, we've all had that dream.
I haven't, thank God.
10 would bang.
Now I'm going to have that dream tonight because you said it.
Except I'd be evil, so it'd be like an evil version of me. I don't know.
You see my other shoe.
It would be like kinky self-hate sex.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I'd... You
this
know?
This took a turn.
I'd still be me, but I'd do evil things. Like... I don't know, like, steal people's ice cream.
Be a Sentai purist.
Oh, no.
Buy Shout Factory DVDs only.
It's probably the only way I'd have sex is with myself.
Have a chip shrine.
It's actually just a shrine of potato chips.
It's just Chip Skylark. My shiny teeth and me. Oh, man. Good times.
And what would my power be? I'd be like, evil me would be Brian, evil Brian's assistant, and I'd throw pizzas at people. I could turn anything into a weapon, and I could like throw a pizza at someone, and it would turn into a like a shuriken or something, and hit him in the face.
You would be like Blue Centurion's worst nightmare.
I like to imagine that Brian would have to make the cheese for George's pizzas. Like, before he could throw them, like, he'd have to, like, you know, cheese it up.
Cheese it up. That's, like, our morph phrase.
I think that I would have powers, but I would just be Earth 2 Barry. But I'm not
Dawson
married.
Dawson can join the brigade and be Pepperoni. And
what the hell is that? Oh, I just got it. Now I'm thinking of, like, a pizza-themed pepper from Iron Man. Like, I'm just a pizza-themed Gwyneth Paltrow. It's basically Shallow Hal. I am Jack Black.
Are you even born yet?
No. I'll be Jason Alexander with a tail. That's my power. I have the tail. That was a fun one. I'm not even sure if we answered the question. I think we just made up a weird alternate universe of Earth.
And
Earth.
I realized the fetish that I never had.
Oh, dear Lord.
That makes sense?
All this from Earth, Durf. That's our alternate Earth. Okay. So, our last question for this week is from first-time caller, Kuiper Martin, who wants to know what kind of new features would we like to see in Pokemon Sun and Pokemon Moon? Pizza dispenser. No.
Mm.
All of the old features that are gone?
Exactly. I think he said in his that he liked the follow feature to be a staple, which I agree
yes,
with. I kind of wish it was a staple, but, like, switchable. Like, you could turn it off if you wanted.
Yeah,
so,
just,
like, if you have Gyarados
like
in your
Silver,
front...
You could turn it off if you wanted to.
You could?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
That is a feature that is in the options menu, I believe.
Oh, I did not know that. But regardless, they should bring that back. That would be I want the customizable clothing to be back. I really liked that.
That would have been my choice.
Yeah, that
I want to be
neat.
I want to be followed. I want customizable clothing. I want day and night to be a proper thing. I think it's is now, but I still want that to be a thing. I want to drive the fire truck.
I mean, sorry, I was like hiccuping. I can sort of see why it would be okay to take away the following thing, but I'm not sure why in Omega Ruby and Alpha Sapphire they didn't have the customizable clothing. I mean, I know it was a remake, but it just seems weird. Like, it's such a small thing. Like, I don't know. But, like, I want that to be a thing. Part of me always wants a fifth move. Like, just to make decisions less difficult. Because they've already fixed so many things revolving around moves. Like, I love that TMs are unlimited. I'd love for HMs to be easier to erase unless they are, and I'm just forgetting it.
No.
I like that HMs are at least in XY, though, they were less prominent. Like, it didn't feel like you were so weighed down by them. There was something I saw. There was sort of a similar list like this on IGN a little while ago. We've talked about things I'd like to see, and there was one that I thought was interestingly brought up, but I'm not sure I feel about it, which is making the PC mobile, so like you can access it from whatever your like Poketch device or whatever is. And I was thinking, like, that makes a lot of sense based on like our technology, but then wouldn't that just be like being able to carry around like hundreds of Pokemon around?
Yeah, it makes sense, but I don't like it.
Yeah, like, that's exactly what I was thinking. Like,
that's basically having an unlimited team.
Yeah, like, it would be more convenient, but it just bothers me. Because, like, I kind of like that slight handicapped in a way. So, yeah, I'm not sure if I'd want that. Maybe I wouldn't be mad at being able to see your PC, like, in an app.
Yeah.
So, like, if you're thinking, what do I have this Pokemon or something? Or do I have, like, this Clefairy with this nature or this move or something? Or, oh, was this Charizard holding experience share? Is that why I don't have it? Like, that would be cool to be able to check in on your PC if you just wanted to look up something. But I don't think you should be able to access it all from your watch or PDA or whatever in the hell device it is in this game. There was something I just thought of that I wanted, though, that I can't remember now. Damn it. Was it along the lines of the PC? I don't know. Damn it, Brian. Why don't you tell me?
Because I don't know.
I don't know. It was sort of good. Probably not, though. But yeah, there was that point about that. I guess it's just... We talked about this probably on the podcast in the past few weeks, but I want a good balance of the EXP share system. I actually really like being able to have it on everybody because it allows you to try out more Pokemon and or have a rotating team.
Mm-hmm.
But it's too effective. So I want a balance where I can level all my guys equally, so if someone's not working, I can switch them. Or, like, I love that in X and Y, I could rotate Go-Goat and Venusaur, and I have two grass types, but not at the same time. But I want that, but I don't want, like, the Elite Four to be that easy. Like, I hate saying that because I hate the frustrating Elite Four matches I had when I was little, or even just facing Cynthia a couple weeks ago, but I miss being challenged. So, like, I want a balance of that. Because I like both. Why not both?
I think the biggest thing I want now is a better end game.
Oh, like a post game?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I agree with that. Really want a Battle Frontier or something. Like, I miss the Battle Frontier. That place was great.
Yeah, I would love more post game stuff too. Like, I hate to say that because also it's like charging stuff, but it would be cool to have like a DLC system too. Like it's essentially the Delta episode, but more stuff afterwards. Like, because I think that Pokemon games are perfect for that. But like a lot of post-game content would be cool. And I think we mentioned this last week or the week before too, but I would love better pacing even between the gyms. Like, I liked the pacing between 1 and 2. Like, maybe have two that are close together and some that aren't. But just make you could still make the campaign roughly the same length, or the main campaign, but just don't make me feel like I can get all the gems in 5 minutes. Just a better pacing with that would be nice, and more to do afterwards would be neat as well.
Yeah, like, more story to do after you beat the Elite Four, and, like I was saying about the Battle Frontier, like, my main issue is that there's nothing to really push yourself after the game.
Yeah.
And so if you're not, like, a competitive online or, like, a national championship or something like that, if you're not playing in those tiers, like, there's no reason to keep pushing yourself in the game. Whereas,
yeah.
I mean, they got the Battle Chateau right now, and, I mean, that's only single, double... maybe triple in rotation? I think triple in rotation are in there too. They're just simple battles. And there's nothing to train for or to push yourself compared to, like, HeartGold SoulSilver's Battle Frontier or Emerald's Battle Frontier that had all these different facets of battling to try to master, to collect. I mean, you were only collecting little emblems, so it wasn't a huge deal, but it was something that you could do and push yourself towards to really give you a reason to keep playing. And I haven't really felt that since Gen 4, and I want that again.
So. You know, and it's kind of an overly talked about thing too, but it would be neat to get a gold-silver situation too, where, like, it was small, but how cool was it to go back to Kanto?
It was great.
Something like that. Like,
Johto continues to be my favorite for, like, that reason. They're just... Harkle and SoulSilver in particular, because you had the Johto, you had the Kanto, and then on top of that, you had Sinnoh's Battle Frontier. So there was so much to do in Harkle and SoulSilver, and it was fantastic. But... like,
apparently there was like quite a bit to do in Black and White too, but I just never got to it. Maybe this time.
Yeah, there
like
was,
little, I mean, side there, stuff.
There
little.
Was that like half of the map that you could do, but like there wasn't. I didn't feel like there was a whole lot there content wise. It was just an area to explore. There wasn't. I don't feel like there was a whole lot of content there.
But like, I'm not sure what they would do for that, like whether it would be visiting another region like Hoenn or Sinnoh, or maybe something new, like make up like an Orange Islands or something. Like, it was cool that like you got to go on a second adventure after the first one.
Mm-hmm.
This was something else that was brought up too in the IGN list, which is not about like the game itself, like the mechanics, but multiple save files would be cool. Like, even though I always buy all the games, like, I was just telling you, I was thinking about buying a second Platinum because I don't want to restart my file, but I want to play Platinum versus Pearl. I would love to be able to have, like, just two save files. That'd be great. So I can have my... I always like to keep, like, this is the file I started on. These are my memories from the first time I played it. This is my team. But then you want to replay it, and then, like, that would be pretty great. I don't know why that's not a thing.
I feel like it's just tradition at this point. I don't think they have a valid reason.
Yeah, like, he's like, tradition's, like, never a good reason to keep
like,
doing
they
something.
They had a perfectly fine reason before because things were so limited on a goddamn Game Boy cartridge. But,
yeah.
Like, not anymore.
But it's just... because I know you can, like, transfer your Pokemon and all that, but it's just not the same. Like, I love leaving my first file, and usually the third version file is, like, you know, solid, and I can go back to, and then I always have whatever version I didn't play to restart, but it would be nice to have multiple save files, especially for, like, Platinum and stuff like that, if I want to go back to it, but can't. But then I guess they probably also think it would take away reason to possibly buy multiple copies.
Yeah.
You know, like, Diamond Pearl, Ruby Sapphire, so I don't know, but that would be nice. I can't think of too much else. I do hope, like, in terms of features they don't take away, I really liked the, I can't remember the name of it, but, like, the thing where you got to pet your Pokemon? What's that called?
Pokemon Ami.
Yeah, that. I liked that just because it was not only neat just to get to see your Pokemon up close, but I liked the broken benefits you could get from it. Like, I did it a lot during the very tail end of XY, but, like, in Ruby and Sapphire, it took me forever to beat that, and, like, but, like, when I didn't have much time to play, I would just boot up and, like, work on that with all my team, and then I shut it off, and, like, my team was, like, broken with that, with, like, oh, this person used an attack, and they're like, the Pokemon dodged it and killed the other Pokemon because they love you. And, like, if you got it way maxed out, it was so beneficial. So, and it was not like it was for nothing either. It wasn't like how broken the XP share was. I mean, it was a little broken, but you did have to put quite a bit of effort into it over time with you know, feeding and playing and all that. So I hope that's a mechanic I hope they don't take away. I like that. But yeah, it's about all. 2.0.
It's about all.
Okay. And now it's time for
Final Things MP3.
Final Things!
I have a thingy, and it's not final!
M3P. I should say. I love that Chris said that today on Facebook. He's like, I need an M3P of that.
Yeah!
It was good. I'm like, I love our friend group. Our friend group was the best friend group of all the friend groups.
I love how I can make a tweet like, I like dogs better than people, and everybody knows what I'm talking about.
Okay, so usual final things, keep sending in those Twitter questions because we will answer them in a very non-professional manner. And
yeah,
I don't know what to say. We used to always be able to end naturally on a funny phrase, but then there's too much pressure now. Can't take it.
Take it.
Time for cookie, bitch.